I'd like to call to order the June 13th meeting of the View Curie Commission Architectural Committee. First up on the agenda, we have 528 Wilkinson Street. Do we have an applicant present? Great. Well, then may we hear the staff report?
Sure. 528 Wilkinson is a yellow-rated main building. This is a proposal to revise approved plans for the rooftop penthouse, including changes to the roof deck access stair. Her application and materials were received October 24th, 2022 and May 15th, 2023, respectively. Staff issued a permit for the rooftop penthouse work on December 16th, including replacement of the wooden roof deck, installation of mechanical equipment, and reconstruction of the access stair. The applicant has returned with revised plans to construct a new spiral access stair rather than the approved switchback stair. The spiral stair has aluminum treads, pickets, and pipe rail. It's shown in the same location as the previous stair, but no longer hides the mechanical equipment below it. Staff notes that a spiral stair was proposed for this roof deck in 2013, but it was located closer to Charters at that time, and there were concerns it would be too visible. It was eliminated from the proposal, and a wooden stair was ultimately permitted and constructed. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the appropriateness of this proposed spiral stair. The plans have also been revised to include the addition of new light fixtures on the main building and rooftop penthouse. These fixtures are 16-inch outdoor gooseneck barn lights with no proposed lamping. Given the building's style, staff does not find this fixture to be inappropriate. However, the placement is not what is recommended by the design guidelines or by the lighting guidelines. Staff requests that the committee consider the placement of these fixtures. If found appropriate for this building, lamping can be handled at staff level.
Thank you so much. Could you please state your name, address, and relationship to the property?
Yes, Miles Martin, 3328 Bank Street, 70119, with the architect, and I have...
Michelle Alcina, 2529 Acacia Street, 70122.
Great, thank you so much. Do you have a response to the staff report?
No, quickly just some additional information. As the staff report highlighted, this project was submitted in the past and approved with a wooden stair. The owner had kind of, the owner who occupies this building from the ground floor to the top has been there for a while, had a little bit of change of heart after he's constantly watched his wood deck up there deteriorate. And so in rethinking his deck up there, he wanted to switch to a spiral stair with more modern materials that are a little bit more hardy up there. Also, right, and you mentioned in that staff report was the lighting selection and the lighting height. Yes, we have no pushback on adjusting the light locations to fall better in line with the guidelines.
Thank you so much.
And sorry, the owner did wish to be here too, unfortunately, because the owner is also the contractor, so he's very interested and very involved with this project, but he's out of the country.
Noted, thank you. Do we have any comments from the committee?
I'm not particularly opposed to the spiral stair.
My one question about it was, do you know if by code, because it is an egress stair from the roof deck, that it would need to be covered? Because I was under the impression that exterior egress stairs had to have a covering and then obviously the watershed from the treads, but I might be misremembering that. My only concern was that by that point, it would have to be, you know, a higher, even higher profile. But at the same time, I feel like the switchback didn't have it. So maybe we've already gone through that.
Something that was, you know, in deviation from the building code. So even if it's conceptually approved by the commission, by the AC, it wouldn't be able to move forward if it didn't meet code.
I was just thinking about the, you know, the profile of it being higher to have a head covering, but I noticed that the switchback didn't have one either, so maybe that was an erroneous comment on my end. So don't necessarily have a problem with the spiral stair. The smaller footprint is nice, and I also feel like because of the contained nature of it, it actually kind of draws more attention away than maybe a larger switchback at this location specifically would. I didn't mention before the meeting, but if you have public comment, please grab one of the forms and fill it out and give it to us before the agenda item that you're going to speak for. But for this one, since I didn't mention that in advance, I'd like to ask if there's any public comment. Having none, is there any further discussion?
I've got a question for the staff. Do y'all have a recommendation for the placement of the gooseneck lights?
So the light guidelines typically place them over openings. And on the front elevation of the main building, they are largely over the openings, except for the one, go back one. The center bay with the two sets of doors, it is in between those, but above, it's mostly on the penthouse where they're located on the pilasters rather than over the openings.
Okay.
And the applicant noted that they would be open to working with y'all on that. I think that, yeah, if that were the case and within the guidelines, layout can be made working with the staff as well as with the lamping that needs to be verified with the staff, then I would feel comfortable with that. If something is not able to, you know, come to agreement, then maybe a change of fixture to something a little more low profile or, you know, at the guidance of the staff would be needed to be reviewed. But I would feel comfortable with that too.
Okay.
Any last words before we make a motion? Okay. Do we have a motion for?
Yes. Mm-hmm. In the matter of 528 Wilkinson, I move to conceptually approve the proposed spiral stair and gooseneck barn lights with the applicant to work with staff on final details, including location of those barn lights.
I will second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thank you so much. Next on the agenda, my computer just froze up for a second. Could you tell me the address that's next?
730.
All right, well, he's already got it. We do have an applicant present. May we hear the staff report?
All right, 730 through 32 St. Peter is a newly rated main building and service building. This is a proposal to renovate the property, including changes to the openings and installation of mechanical equipment in conjunction with a change of use. Current application and materials received November 30th, 2022 and May 30th, 2023, respectively. When last reviewed on March 22nd, the commission moved for conceptual approval of the overall work with the proviso that the motion was contingent on approval and or necessary waivers from all other overseeing agencies. Since then, the project has been to BBSA and BZA for several items. The commission also deferred making a recommendation regarding the change of use. After the agenda for this meeting was released, Interim Zoning Administrator Wheeler Menusheri determined that the change of use will be to restaurant/cultural facility. EDSA approved the opening between 726 and 730 St. Peter and approved louvers on the rear property line at the attic plenum for the installation of mechanical equipment. The louvers are presented previously, but a note has been added that they will have an anodized finish in detail 8/350 shows them slightly recessed within the wall. The stairs at the back of the site can be rebuilt with wood with a new concrete landing with steps to be added in the courtyard. BZA approved an open space waiver that allows some mechanical equipment to be installed at grade, but requires that the open space on the property be made permeable. The courtyard currently slopes toward the service L with a trench drain close to the building. The applicant proposes to reverse the slope and install a trench drain close to the planters against the property line fence. The current flagstone will be salvaged and reinstalled on a gravel permeable base. 3 10x10 metal catch basins will also be added. The commission also waived the 30-day layover requirement for the demolition of the anachronistic courtyard structures. Demolition of these small buildings revealed two things. First, the first floor wall at the rear of the main building was previously removed, with a large steel beam installed above it. The applicant proposes to leave the beam in place and install an infill wall below. The detail for EW5 on sheet A40 shows this infill as 8x8x16 CMU block with historic masonry veneer affixed with masonry anchors, painted to match the adjacent historic brick walls. Staff is unsure how historic brick behaves when attached to CMU with masonry anchors and seeks the guidance of the committee regarding this detail. Secondly, removal of the courtyard structures along with extensive conduit and refrigerant lines revealed that the balcony joists at the service cell are in poor condition, having been sistered and scabbed to a great extent already. The applicant proposes to replace the balcony joists 8 feet back from the fascia on both the second and third floors. Details on A350 seem to contradict each other on the size of the new members, One detail calls for true 2x12 framing, while the other calls for true 3x10 framing. On the second floor balcony, the rails and columns will also require replacement. Substantial millwork replacement is proposed throughout. At the rear of the first floor of the main building, where the wall will be reconstructed, the applicant noted that the interior portion of this wall has arched openings consistent with fan lights. However, they intend to leave the steel beam in place, which is lower than where the arch would have been. The applicant proposes to install fan light with an opening below, and two options are presented. Option one is a single door with side lights going all the way down to grade, which would be very atypical. Both the door and fan light are shown with laminated glazing. One mutton drawn with divided lights, and one is shown as a simulated mutton with a spacer. The door also swings out. Option two is double doors with no side lights. The doors have single wood panels below with 9 lights above. These doors are also very atypical. Staff seeks guidance from the committee on the millwork for this elevation and what direction it should be developed in. At the second floor of the service L, exploratory demolition was done at an opening in filled with wood paneling, which previously had a door. The applicant proposes to remove the infill panel and install a new window to provide the room behind it with natural light. Staff has no objection to this, as it would not replace existing millwork. An infill construction below the window would indicate that it was once a door. Also, the brick lintel, it would remain in place as well. On the first floor of the service L, an existing atypically wide, previously partially infilled opening is now shown with new French doors, 8 lights, and a wood panel below. No swing is indicated. Staff is unsure if the size of the opening will remain the same or if any alternative millwork might be more appropriate for this wider opening. Also on the first floor of the service cell, the applicant proposes to install a new door in an existing window opening. It is not clear if this is an altered opening already or not, as the first floor is a mix of bad replacement millwork installed without permit. The door appears to be the only entry in and out of the kitchen, but it also appears there's an interior counter blocking it. Staff requests clarification from the applicant. An arched top former breezeway had been infilled with beaded board. The applicant is proposing to brick it up. Staff recommends that a 1-inch reveal be left to show where the breezeway was located. On the roof, 2 14-inch gravity roof vents are shown on the rear slope of the main building. Where the roof is being raised, where the service cell meets the main building, a new parapet is shown. Staff notes that the parapet is not tall enough to avoid a rail on that side of the adjacent HVAC platform. The parapet extension is shown as a 3-wide brick wall, but also includes copper cap flashing, which is typically prohibited except in unique circumstances. A copper cap is also proposed at the existing parapet at the blue-rated service cell. Staff does not find this detail approvable and recommends a mortar cap be used. Staff notes that several masonry products are proposed for use in various places with different existing conditions. Staff recommends deferral of the masonry coatings and requests that the applicant provide spec sheets for the products they wish to use, along with a masonry survey indicating which products would be used where and why. Overall, staff finds the proposed work conceptually approvable, with revisions to be submitted as requested in the staff report and discussed with the committee.
Thank you so much. May we have your name and address?
John Williams, architect for 730 St. Peter.
Thank you. Do you have a response to,
Andrew Stevens, also with Williams Architects.
Thank you. Do you have a response to the staff report?
Very thorough, and we could go item by item, but I think most of this we should be able to work out with the staff. The options that we have for the once we remove the kind of errant, we got a permit to do demolition on the buildings that were built there several years ago without a permit. It did give us a better insight into what's happening kind of in the inner part of the L. And if you realize that whole front building is a much older building than the L, that L was attached to it. It had 3 arches. I think we opted to go with an arch underneath the beam. I think if you understand that already we've spent close to $400,000 in just tuck money. This building was at the brink of collapse, and we're deciding to not remove that beam that's over there and work with what's underneath it. We went with an arch opening and gave you an option of going with 2 doors or 1 door. We could do it either way. So I don't know if you want to go kind of item by item, or you know, maybe attack that one. That seems to be the most. And you know, going to the parapet wall, I think we're happy to do. I think it would be great if the location where we're indicating to put a parapet wall, that we do get a metal cap, but we're happy to do, you know, masonry cap also. I think done properly, they'll hold up. In terms of the staff requesting that we defer this to get with them about what kinds of treatments we're going to use on the brick, you know, we have generally we use a Prosoco type treatment that, because we're doing a tax credit project, it allows the brick to breathe. And I think that's something that we can also work out with the staff.
I'm only recommending deferral specifically of the masonry treatment, not of the other items, just because we didn't get spec sheets for those particular items. And with it being a blue-rated building, obviously the standard is much higher with just what will be allowed. And it looks like some of those are being proposed in areas where it's already painted, but then also some of it is in places that are currently bare masonry, so we just need to get a better sense of what's going where and why.
On that one issue, I believe that, you know, Aaron, we can work that out with you.
How about we just leave it, if, you know, if it's something that is, once we receive that information,
right,
if we can approve it at the staff level, we will. If not, we'll have to return it to the AC.
That sounds like a good idea. We're really trying to get this project moving forward, and I can't tell you how cooperative and easy to work with the staff has been with this project, and at every step of the way, allowing us to, you know, take those mechanical and buildings out so that we can actually see what we're working with. So it is a little bit of a complicated building because it is kind of this wonderful blue-rated building that's like 200 years old, and, you know, an attachment was made, you know, about 50 years later. And it's got a lot going on because all the openings along that first floor are different, and the floor levels are different, so there's a lot of detailing there, and so we'd appreciate the opportunity to continue working with the staff to resolve this. And ultimately, I think on the use issue, we're going to the commission on this next meeting, and the zoning administrator has come up with a solution, and I think we're pretty excited just to get that behind us. Get the BBSA behind us, get the BSA, the Board of Zoning Adjustment behind us, and also working towards getting, you know, the full permit from the Peoria Commission staff. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to address them. We're pretty open to the issues that we've now left that are unresolved. I think that we can resolve pretty easily. I think the biggest one, if they stop there for a second, I don't know who's doing that. You see this window here, and it had the square window above, this arched window here, and it's got this incredible staircase right behind here, and then just below that, we're emulating this arch below it. And I think rightfully so, Aaron has pointed out that it's a little flatter and lower because of this big steel beam that's there. We can go to a square kind of attachment to that, but I think that's the main issue. And Andy, I don't know if you have anything.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to kind of agree with John that, you know, we looked at trying to recreate that same arch kind of, you know, it's not the same dimension. As Karen kind of pointed out, you know, the various openings on level one being that courtyard have been kind of, you know, it's an amalgamation of different conditions. We're trying to get this all up to the same standard. Some of the questions that were asked about true 2x12 versus 3x10, to make sure that's addressed. The actual true is a true 3x10 dimension for each of those kind of outrigger
pieces. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that outrigger part of the application, or is that a staff level item that y'all are working through?
No, that's B level.
Sorry.
A lot of things that would normally be more at staff level, require more commission or committee review because of it being blue rated, but with that being a structural element, that's.
Thank you.
And we're happy to, I think they, you're recommending that we recess the vents in the back?
They are recessed.
Yeah. And you're okay with that?
Well, let's, yeah. Well, I'll open it up to the committee for any comments after having some time to digest all the elements.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all having addressed the balcony outriggers. It seems like you guys have that well documented, and we just need to kind of clarify that we're going back with what was there. And
That's the intent. We really didn't get a true dimension on it until, you know, kind of right before the submission, but it's a true 3-inch by 10-inch joist. And because they're in such poor condition on the outside of the balcony side, we call it to splice it, you know, we'll replace, you know, the entire piece of fittings replacement. So that we have a match, you know, going out.
Okay. And do you all have any comments on the staff's commentary on the CMU block wall that we're infilling with and how that's going to line up or how it's going to interface with the existing masonry at the jams and whether that's a concern?
What I hear is that, you know, there's some discussion that might take place about, you know, using block and brick together and how we're tying that in. I mean, there's not that much of this, so, I mean, we could do brick, but that would be, you know, rather than the block.
The approach we're taking is to kind of get a similar painted brick finish. We're open to looking at what type of brick that is, you know, or if it needs to be a plaster finish instead of a brick finish. But the intent is to try to get ourselves something that blends in with the painted plaster.
Okay, thank you. Any additional comments on the items?
I'm wondering if staff can point me to the slide where an elevation of that wall is.
201 and 201.1, so 92 and 93 on the slideshow.
I don't see any lines that would tell me where the boundaries are of that. Is there like a large opening somewhere that we're infilling?
Yes, so that entire first floor under that beam is gone. So they are having to completely rebuild the first floor of the back elevation.
Just open there.
We don't have a photo of that right now, but I haven't seen it on site.
Building was demoed.
Yeah,
and was blocking it.
Right, and having seen it on site, you could kind of tell that that was probably what was going on there, but then once they got everything cleared out, it's just open, so they're having to reconstruct that wall.
Those old buildings outside that had the mechanical on top were actually blocking this, so we could never actually get a photo.
Right.
And when we took all that out, and took out the few bricks or powder that was left there, it was just a beam and open space underneath, so we had to come up with an opening, and we can emulate what would have been there. It was a big arch, we know that. Or I would not recommend taking that beam out because it's that old.
I do. Yeah, I had a comment on that item. And I agree that leaving the beam in place makes sense, but I think that due to the rating of the building being a blue rated building and the fact that you could kind of not really match the store to what would have been there, I do think maybe keeping a square opening makes more sense, especially because there's already a kind of progression of time and alterations being done to the building. So I think in light of not presenting a more decorative window element, that it might be, you know, better for the building to just let that take a back seat and be shown as something that's, you know, an alteration. But that being said, I don't mean this as a contradiction at all, but I do think that if you were open to re-infilling that wall with a true brick wall that would tie into the existing brick wall. It would be a little bit more in line with the sort of like restoration that you are doing to the building and then the significance
that
of the building.
That situation goes away. Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the only other comment that was a big one that I remembered was I'm in agreement with the staff about the mortar versus copper parapet cap. You had kind of mentioned that you would be open to that as well, so that's great to hear for such a highly rated building. And then any additional comments since I sort of stepped in there for since we were talking about the window?
No, not for me.
Yeah. All the other millwork replacements that are proposed, I'm in agreement as well with the staff report on. But I'd just like to take this moment. We did have some new people come in. If you have a public comment for any of the properties, that means you're not the applicant. Please fill out a form and give it to us in advance of the agenda item being discussed. But since we had some new people show up in between then and now, is there any public comment? I don't have a card of any kind. Any final comments by the committee?
No, none for me.
Great. Any last words by the applicant?
We're really appreciative of the input and look forward to continuing to work with the staff to get this permitted and under construction.
Thank you. I would like to note that just due to the fact that there's multiple ones and there is sort of a scope regarding the masonry coating, the only reason that I'm in agreement with the staff about the deferral and bringing that back is because I don't think that we're technically allowed to approve something that we don't have in front of us. But I will say that if it is a lot more streamlined than it might appear, I think that your discretion, you know, as to whether it returns is fine. But I mean, in terms of just being able to see the cut sheets and be able to specifically approve something to go forward at your level for the blue rating of the building, it's kind of important.
I agree, and those were a couple of Prosoco products too that I wasn't familiar with, especially us approving on a higher rated building.
It.
So it is, and the guidelines straight up give it them. So y'all making an exception is really kind of required.
Okay, well that's all in line. do we have a motion?
I was just going to say, we're happy to propose the diagrams that the staff is requesting to for the screen.
Fantastic. Thank you. And the cut sheets. Do we have a motion?
Yes. Yes, I have a motion. In the matter of 730 St. Peter, I'm going to try to keep this pretty brief and simple, but I move to conceptually approve the proposed work with the applicant to submit the brick treatment and the brick treatment cut sheets and diagram as requested by staff, with staff to return that to this committee if they, at their discretion, and the applicant to submit revisions as noted in the staff report and in today's discussion. But that is a motion for conceptual approval.
Okay. I noted that you said at their discretion, but I do believe that we have to defer the masonry coatings to return. Because of the conditions that they're specifically prohibited by the guidelines, and they have to come back to us for.
Then I will revise my motion to defer the masonry coatings for that to come back to us.
Okay. With that noted, I'll second that motion. Thanks. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thank you so much. The next item on the agenda is 336 Decatur. Do we have an applicant? We do. May we hear the report, please?
Sure. 336 Decatur is unrated new construction. Is a proposal to install anchors for hurricane protection panels at all window and door openings. Application materials received March 31st and May 30th, 2023, respectively. When staff reviewed and stamped the new construction plans as approved in 2022, notes were added to drawings of hurricane protection panels, and these elements were to be reviewed and permitted separately. As the construction is well underway for the new building, the applicant has submitted additional information seeking to have this element approved. The proposed storm protection system utilizes one of two embedded anchors that remain in place permanently. The remainder of the system is removable and should only be installed under the threat of severe weather. Option one is to submit materials. utilizes a threaded anchor that appears to include an external threaded portion. These attachments are named panel mates by the manufacturer and are noted as being specifically for wood frame construction. Option 2 utilizes a thicker threaded anchor that permanently attaches to the building and small bolts that screw into these anchors. Referred to as sidewalk bolts by the manufacturer, these are noted as being used for concrete construction. Of the two submitted options, staff strongly prefers option 2, although with this building being constructed with metal framing with a stucco veneer, it is unclear if option 2 would be an option. The anchors are most typically spaced 12 inches apart, with closer spacing required depending on the span and attachment wall material. Photographs on the manufacturer's website show that in rough stucco, the anchors appear to decently blend into the wall surface. As stucco finishes in the deep gray are typically much smoother than those shown on the manufacturer's website, it is unclear how visible the anchors would be in this situation. The bolt heads can be painted to help blend into the wall. The guidelines note that the use of fabric storm panels as a potentially good form of storm protection. The guidelines note that discreetly placed fasteners can allow fabric storm panels to be installed quickly and are often visually unobtrusive when installed at a secondary building elevation. Staff has some concerns that this building essentially features three primary elevations. Still, given that this is new construction, staff finds the proposal potentially approvable provided the sidewalk bolt type anchors can be utilized, the bolt heads are painted to match the adjacent building surface, and the anchors are overall found to be sufficiently discreet by the committee. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the proposal.
Thank you so much. Could I have your name, address, and relationship to the property, please?
Heather Cooper, Rosas Ward Architects, 1100 Quidris.
Chandler Patton, Garrison Builders, E25 Fowey.
Great, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Do you have a response to the staff report?
Sure. We appreciate the mixed review. We looked at a fabric system largely because we have very large openings on this building. And we were initially looking at option one. It says wood construction, although we have metal frame, you know, wood blocking around all of the openings. So we'd have to get back to the manufacturer to see if option two, which is what the staff found more appropriate, if that would be an option. If it is, we have no issue with that.
Thank you so much. Do we have any comments from the committee?
I'm looking at slide 106. I guess this is an example photo, and that is with, is that a panel mate on 106? Or do they both look the same, no matter?
Which one are you looking?
Slide 106.
Oh, sorry. Or
105. So which of the two options is that?
I believe that's the option two of the sidewalk.
Yeah, it seems to me that, you know, based on that example photo, that those would be pretty discreet, and mm-hmm. seems fine.
I agree with that.
We don't have elevations of the building to be in this package.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm just wondering if y'all investigated an architectural solution for storm protection, like shutters.
We hadn't looked at that. The openings, they were wide. They're 6 foot wide and 10 foot tall openings. So they'd be pretty sizable shutters. But it could be something we explore. That's of interest to me.
I think, yeah. I mean, given the rating, yeah, given the fact that there's new construction unrated, and I don't remember it exactly, but I know that we've reviewed it in the past. I would feel comfortable with a method that maybe is less architectural or less, traditional.
Yeah.
It'd also be very interesting to see this type of system at a large opening scale. As noted, these are mentioned to be, I think, for secondary elevations, and you kind of have three primary elevations, but given the research you've done, maybe less of an
issue. This picture I took the other day.
Issue. Thank you. Yeah, I remember. Oh, that's right. There's I have a public comment from Nikki Savinsky.
Nikki Savinsky, 211 St. Philip, and 4 Citizens. We would be remiss if we didn't point out that this building is built on a building permit, and that we are concerned about the appropriate inspections having been done, and we hope that anything that is approved today is properly inspected.
Thank you. No additional public comment? Final comments?
We can't comment on anything that has to do with something that's not architectural, and I sure do hope that safety and permits is keeping track of who's got permits and who doesn't.
Do you have a status for us, though?
Yeah, so it's just hung up on a BZA item.
And what's the BZA item?
It's the open space variance that we got. It lapsed. So we're going to be on the BZA agenda next month, where we anticipate that they'll give us approval, and that's the last item for them.
Thank you.
So, I mean, I guess you could make your motion contingent on
making sure
everything at this point is.
Yeah.
Yeah, only as good as the enforcement that's out there.
Yep. do you final word from the applicant? We're always given?
No,
none?
I appreciate your view.
A motion? Do we have a motion?
Yes, in the matter of 336 Decatur, I move to conceptually approve fabric storm protection option, hardware option 2, with the applicant to work with the staff on any final details, including spacing and anchor locations.
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you both.
Thank you.
The next item we have is 516 Governor Nichols. I'm sorry, we have a very long agenda, and I don't want to rush anybody, but I do recognize that. Oh, it's you again.
Yeah.
I was like, get out of that seat. May we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 516 Governor Nichols is a green-rated building. Does they propose to install new exterior mechanical equipment? For application materials received June 7th, 2023. And May 22nd, 2023, respectively. It may previously reviewed and approved proposals for a mini-split condensing units in this courtyard back in 2013 and 2017. The existing wall-mounted condensing units are proposed to stay. The applicant proposed to add two additional units wall-mounted in the loggia area near two of the existing units. Staff finds these proposed locations consistent with the guidelines in terms of not being visually obtrusive. Staff has some concerns about the expansion of equipment from the courtyard into this loggia space, but overall finds the proposed location approvable. Staff recommends approval of the proposal with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you so much. And could you please just restate your name and addresses, your names and addresses?
Sure.
Heather Cooper, Rosa Sport Architects, 1100 Poitras.
Chandler Patton, Garrison Builders, 825 Valley Street.
Thank you so much. Do you have any response to the staff report?
My response, just that we were clearing up some PCC violations with the air conditioning units, window units, and so that's why we have new splits that we're suggesting these locations for.
Thank you.
In this location as well, we're able to hide a lot of our condensate lines and refrigerant lines in this exterior closet. If we were to put them anywhere in this back courtyard, they would be exposed in that courtyard. So we feel as if this is like the most non-visible location that we can put them in.
What about the existing lines that are shown in that photograph? Go back one more. Those see the white PVC.
Oh, that's from a window unit up back.
Is that
that's going away?
Cleaned up?
That'll
going
go away.
Away.
Yes.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can we get the details on the condensate lines to like summary added?
Yep.
We've been having issues with that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The length, the run, you know, the whole thing. Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Any comments by the committee?
Is this a masonry wall that we're mounting to?
It's wood structure. It's just it's plaster. I believe it's just wood frame, plaster one.
Okay. So presumably it's not historic fabric that we're mounting to.
I think that's probably masonry. That's the loggia. Unless it was
it
built
is.
Out.
It's in a wall that's in a pretty unusual location.
Yeah. I don't have a back.
respect to that arched opening.
It's, I was going to say, it's super, yeah, it's really flush to that, like, what is the right side on this picture?
I guess it could be. Well, that closet.
Probably.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
I do think when finalizing with the staff, if you're able to just verify that information so that they're able to review the attachment based off of the, you know, the wall substrate would be
great.
Yep. And I don't suppose that they could be mounted higher. I was just kind of thinking about the view from the courtyard and whether or not we could minimize that. I know that there are requirements for air circulation around them. But maybe within the final staff review, you can verify that it's the most appropriate location.
As high as possible, yes.
But I will say, I'll defer to the staff on that based off their knowledge of dealing with the installation of mini-splits a lot in a lot of different types of locations. I don't have any public comments. Do we have any public comments? Final comments?
No.
Final comments? Thanks. Do we have a motion?
Yes, in the matter of 516 Governor Nichols, I move to conceptually approve the two new mini splits with final details to be worked out at the staff level, including attachment and mounting height.
I would like to second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes.
Great. Thank you.
Your second one. So the next we have 233 Decatur Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. May I have a staff report, please?
Sure. 233 Decatur is a yellow-rated building. This is a proposal to install rooftop mechanical equipment in conjunction with a change of use from vacant to residential. Current application and materials received at May 4th, 2023 and May 26th, 2023, respectively. The second and third floors of this property have been vacant since Hurricane Katrina and are being returned to Commerce. The exterior work is limited to the installation of two bathroom roof vents and two rooftop condensers. One condenser is 3.5 tons and measures approximately 31 by 31 by 32 with a sound output of 76 decibels. The second unit is a 4-ton condenser and its listed measurements and decibel level are the same. The drawings must be revised to include a detailed drawing for the bathroom vents and the spec sheets for the condensers must include the manufacturer for BCC records. Staff finds the work to be minimal and in keeping with the proposed change of use. Staff recommends that the committee approve the proposed work and forward a positive recommendation for the change of use to the commission.
Thank you so much. Could you please state your name, address, and relationship to the property?
Yes, David Karimi, Karimi Construction, the contractor.
Great. Do you ever?
Miles Martin, 3328 Bank Street, architect of record.
Great, thank you both. Do you have a response to the staff report?
No big response here. Just wanted to say this is the part two of the renovation of this building. Part one was the renovation of the bar and restaurant underneath, which included the exterior front facade and also violations that were on file with the BCC. We just got that bar passed by State Fire Marshal last week, so that building is now on Commerce on the first floor. Now we're expanding up to renovate the two existing apartment kind of flats that were each on each floor up there. So this is to get the AC installed on those, take no issue of supplying the cut sheets for the exhaust penetrations on the roof and that manufacturer's color sheet on the cut sheet for the units themselves.
Thank you so much. Comments from the committee? Comments or questions from the committee?
None from me. Glad to see a building being returned to Commerce.
Also have no comments. I have no card for public comment, but do we have any public comments? None. And we always give the applicant the last word. I know you just spoke, but do you have anything else? None. Okay. Do we have a motion?
Yes.
Didn't we give you a chance to
In the matter of 233 Decatur, I move to approve the proposed work with the applicant to submit requested information, staff requested information noted in the report, and to forward a positive recommendation for a change of use to the commission.
I'd like to second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thank you both.
Thank you.
The next item up for business is 611 Barracks. We have an applicant present. May I have the staff report, please?
Sure. 611 Barracks is a green rated building. Does it propose to replace two existing rear wood doors with new wood doors that do not match the existing? Application materials received June 2nd, 2023. The applicant proposes to replace the two rear doors on this converted double shotgun. The existing doors are four-panel wood doors measuring 1 3/8 inch thick. The applicant hypothesized that these doors were relocated from an interior location many years ago due to the thinner thickness of the doors. Two options have been submitted for a new replacement door that would be 1 3/4 inches thick. The first option submitted was a simple single panel over single panel wood door with raised panels and applied wood molding. After initial feedback from staff, the applicant submitted a second door option showing a four-panel door design with flat panels and applied wood molding. The guidelines note that the BCC requires retaining a serviceable original wood door unless irreversibly deteriorated, and continues if the original door does not survive, replacing with a new or salvaged door that matches the original door. If the original door style is unknown, replacing the door with one that's appropriate to the building's period and style. The applicant contends that the existing door is not original, and staff believes this is certainly not a possibility. Still, the existing doors have a considerable amount of age, match one another, and besides the possible thinner thickness, appear to be appropriately sized for the opening. According to the book Historic Millwork, prior to 1850, exterior doors were typically only 1.5 inches thick or less, and interior doors were 1 inch thick. Today's standard of 1 3/8 inch thickness for interior doors and 1.5 inches for exterior doors did not develop until after the 1890s. Given the construction date to this building circa 1900, a 1.5 inch thick exterior door would be more appropriate. The proposed 1 3/4 inch door is even thicker, and staff questions if there is any evidence at the door's jamb to suggest a door of that thickness previously existed. Staff recommends conceptual approval of the new exterior doors, but request commentary from the committee regarding the preferred style and thickness.
Thank you so much. Could you?
Yes, I'm Michael Carboni, the owner, occupant of 611 Barracks.
Thank you so much. Do you have a response to the staff report?
Yes, I just want to thank the staff for helping us get to this point. Since some of the commentary or conversations, I've looked at the profile of the frame, and it does appear to be nominally 1.5 inches, thereabouts. So we will certainly look at 1.5 inch solution. As he mentioned, truly believe these were once interior doors that match the design of the doors, and you can sort of see where they've been chopped top and bottom to fit in this odd size opening. We did make a search for recycled doors, and we just had no luck whatsoever for the size. So we do want it to be appropriate in design. I'm leaning towards the four-panel design because it does echo the few interior doors that survived the previous renovations. So we'd like to go that direction.
Thank you.
Oh, and I'd like, it was brought up that we certainly will not change any element of the frame. So we're simply changing the door into a hardware.
Thank you. Do we have any comments from the committee or questions?
What's the reason for replacing the doors?
They're just weather-worn. They were never intended to be that way. I can see where around the panel it's loosening and the adhesive is probably failing. I'm not real comfortable with the security level those doors give us. I don't like a sturdier door that I can put some trust in.
And
also, you notice. The door, that door in particular, doesn't quite fit. The frame seems a little out of square. And certainly the new doors we would have done be adjusted to the actual shape of the opening.
Right. Thank you. I think I'm in agreement with you about the four-panel door being my preference as well. And I appreciate your investigation into the jam, since you're planning to do any modifications, knowing that it's closer to a 1.5 inch, and plan to supply a door that works with that. Sounds great. Do you have any further comments or questions?
It looks like these doors have some pretty old hardware on them, like the surface mounted rim lock hardware.
Yes, I'm going to redo the rim lock and just put a new deadbolt, which they both have, but I will use either those rim locks or replacements at the same time. I like those as well.
Very cool.
I don't have a card for public comment. Do we have any public comments? I don't hear any. Final questions or comments from the committee?
None for me.
And the applicant always has the final word if there is any.
As I said, I appreciate the guidance I've gotten thus far to bring this to you.
Great. Well, in that case, do we have a motion?
Yes. In the matter of 611 Barracks, I move to conceptually approve the installation of new exterior doors with the door thickness to match the what is indicated by the existing jamb, and for the four panel option that has been proposed today, with any final details to be worked out at the staff level and existing hardware or matching historic hardware to be installed on the new doors.
I'd like to second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thank you so much for coming in and for your work. The next item we have is 721 St. Philip Street. Do we have an applicant? We do. May we have the report, please?
Sure. 721 St. Philip is a yellow-rated building. This is a recommendation-only proposal to renovate building, including replacement of windows and doors with new aluminum-clad wood windows and doors. Justification materials received May 11, 2023. The applicant proposes to replace nearly every window and door across all three floors of this building with new aluminum-clad windows. The applicant has stated that water intrusion is the reason for total replacement and that the existing millwork is not salvageable. Lintels are also noted as being replaced if found to be damaged, but little information has been provided regarding the expected condition of each lintel. If replaced, the detail art sheet S301 shows the new steel lintel exposed on the exterior with the stucco not covering the steel. The applicant has stated that any new lintels would not be visible, matching the existing conditions. Staff took many detailed photographs of the existing conditions of the windows and doors, and although there is clearly some damage, many of the windows appear to only require some maintenance and cleaning up. Total replacement of this millwork would be a drastic and irreversible action. BCC guidelines, as well as National Park Service recommendations, all recommend repairs to existing materials unless irreversibly damaged. From staff observations and photographs provided by the applicant, staff does not believe the majority of this millwork being proposed for replacement is irreversibly damaged. The proposed new millwork are all gelled one window, with each replacement noted matching existing. No details of the proposed replacement windows have been provided, only stock examples. Staff questions how accurately some of the more well-detailed windows and doors can be replicated with a manufactured window. The submitted plans state the new aluminum-clad wood windows will match the existing profiles, dimensions, number of lights, and proportions of the existing. Guidelines note that the BCC will consider the use of an aluminum or aluminum-clad wood window for an orange or brown wood building or new construction. Further, the guidelines state that the BCC does not allow replacing a window component or unit if repair and maintenance will improve its performance and preserve a historic element. As this review is for recommendation only, staff suggests that maybe there is a middle ground that the applicant will be open to, such as retaining and repairing the windows and doors on the front elevation and only installing aluminum windows and doors on the side and rear elevations. The second proposed exterior change noted by staff is the proposal to change a railing at a rear flat roof from wood to metal. Staff does not object to this change, but questions the necessity of the railing, which is drawn as rising over 4 feet above the roof surface, with spacing compliant with building code for typical balcony use. The plans show only windows adjacent to this flat roof, indicating that it is not readily accessible. However, photographs appear to show that there are actually two doors that can access this area. If this is to become a more activated rooftop space, staff may suggest that the railings be brought in slightly from the outside edge of the building. Still, this area is in the back of the building with little visibility from the surrounding properties or the streets, so may be approvable as proposed. Finally, a new rooftop chiller mechanical unit is shown on the flat roof of the main building. Currently, there are two large mechanical units on this roof, but the proposed plans only show the one large unit. Staff questions if this new unit will be the only one for the entire building, and if the existing equipment will all be removed. Staff finds this location for mechanical equipment consistent with the guidelines, similar to existing and approvable. Although staff finds the proposed railing change and mechanical work approvable, staff staff did not find the proposal regarding the windows and doors approvable and recommends that the committee provide a strongly negative recommendation regarding the proposed total window and door replacement.
Thank you so much. Could we have your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Why don't you get started? Juan Laura Williams Architects, for 731 St. Philip. Yes.
Roy Connor,
John Williams.
Great, thank you very much. Would you like, do you have a response to staff?
It's kind of a combined thing. Thank you for spending the time making the recommendations. Juan has worked pretty closely with Nick on doing this. A couple of years ago, we had a very extensive report run by somebody that we use extensively for evaluating the windows and doors. And there's things that you can't see. It's the dry rot. All the windows and the doors are shot. So we'd love to keep as many as we can. It's just with the report, and it's been 2 years hence, that's pretty much that we're trying to do the best thing we can with the school system wanting a material and a window that is maintained, that can be maintained. I did an addition onto this building, one of my first projects that I ever did. And so that's a long time ago, and those windows didn't last. So that's the main issue. The back flat roof area. We don't intend for that to be more occupied, but children are curious, so we added the higher rail at its current location and made it metal to be stronger. And I think that would address why we didn't have the usual for mechanical spaces or the rooftop with mechanical spaces on it. That rail would be much lower. I think we're just being anticipatory that this is an elementary school. You're going to find some kids to get out on that roof. There were doors going out onto that. We changed them to windows and make it less accessible. Juan, you got?
No, just for you guys to information on the lintels. This is an as needed, and we're not going to know that until they remove a window and see what the extent mm-hmm. you know, the damage is. For the lintel, and they're not going to be exposed. And we are trying, right? I mean, if the lintel is damaged, it obviously has to be replaced before you install any window. And in order to install that lintel, there's two pieces, one on the outside and one on the inside, catching that masonry. So stuck was going to have to be removed and repatched and refixed, I guess, painted after, and the same on the inside. They will not be exposed. Just so you know, the report, like I mentioned to Nick, I can send it to you guys for review, and it not only has the windows and the doors, it has very detailed damage information that you might not see, or you know, it's been painted over for you know decades. So, and ironically, the most damaged water damage to the building has been on the front facade. Building based on the studies from our consultant, the building envelope consultant. Shop drawings, you know, as they come in, I think they just awarded or just executed the contract. It was going through the list for PSB. We're going to start getting information from the contractor, and as soon as we get the shop drawings for the doors and the windows, we will be sending those to Nick for review and recommendations. And we will continue to work with you guys to make this stuff.
It'll probably be Morgan, that's why she's here. We'll be working with Nick to, when we have the shop drawings, we'll work with you. And, you know, if you say, hey, you know, why don't you try this or that, I think we'll make a strong recommendation to the school board that they go in that direction.
One more thing also with the windows and the doors, we were told by our abatement consultant that once we abate them and get the lead off, they will be incredibly fragile.
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing.
That's the other thing. They would be not in state that they'd be able to be used, and we have to get that lead off today. That's not an option.
A lot of the frames around the window do have shrunk from the water damage, and you know, it just, you know, that facade, the front facade of the building is in pretty bad shape. You know, it rains outside and it rains in, you know, inside kind of thing. You know, some of those doors are completely shut. Some of them have been fixed through the years, just, you know, supplemented the bottom panels with plywood, you know, just painted over, you know, kind of thing. So the building is, you know, it's in bad shape. And this at least is going to alleviate some of those, you know.
Yeah. And at least with the doors, they did say with the abatement in the front doors that they would try to save those a little heftier, hardier than the windows.
They're recessed, so they're not as exposed to the elements. So that front door, and we're going to do that, you know, we're going to assess the other doors around and see that if we can set it, you know, save them, we will, for sure.
So it's going to remain a school?
Yes.
It will, yeah. The school just moved out for a year, I guess, for the next school year for this project to happen. We're replacing the whole roof. And on the chillers, there are two pieces of equipment. Just one of them was completely shut. There was only one of them working for the whole school. So that's you see in some classrooms, they have installed window units, you know, to kind of supplement. But only one of them is going to be replaced, and the other one remains is still working. It's in good working condition.
Thank you.
So we'll make sure to have a clear note on the drawing that says we're keeping one unit and replacing the other one. As clear as it could.
Great. Do we have any comments or questions from the committee?
I do agree with the staff report that replacing all of these windows wholesale is pretty drastic. I understand why the school board might want to do that. Do you know if these windows are intended to be operational when those buildings?
Yes, they're not now. I think just maybe one, because you can't close it.
Yeah.
There will be.
All of them operational.
So that's my understanding as far as the, and I don't want to give advice on lead paint, but when you dip the sashes, that it kind of degrades the glue that's holding them together, and they do become quite fragile. So Park Service usually doesn't recommend dipping sashes. Mm-hmm. And so I think there are encapsulation options, but as I understand it, when you operate the window after that, you are going to create some lead dust that could be hazardous.
There's about a quarter of an inch, I think that's what the report says, that is the dry rot kind of thing, you know, in the windows, the tests that were done to them. Mm. And, you know, starting to sand these things and try to make them, you know, I mean, it was not recommended, you know, by an expert, you know, to do those things.
Well, I have a concern about the mounting detail. This seems to be very shallow and within the cavity.
Right, those were just, you know, I asked them to send me details, just generic details for you guys to see for now, but once I get the shop drawings, the actual shop drawings, so the window units that we are going to install, we're going to be sending those to you guys for you, and then we can, you know,
since this is a recommendation only, I think it's important that we be able to comment on that.
Oh, definitely.
Because
yes,
with this many windows being replaced, that has a real potential to be devastating to the aesthetics of that building.
Correct.
So, you know, I think that we need to.
And look, you know, one of the reasons why we're going with this line, because, you know, in coordination with the rep and everything, and we met on site several times, and they are certain that they can replicate most of it, if not 99% of the details of the existing windows.
Right.
We're trying to do what's best for the building, for sure. We'll continue to work closely with you guys.
Since it's a recommendation only, once again, you know, I think it's important for the committee to take that kind of information into account, that, you know, if we don't have all the information we need at this point, we might not be in a position to make a final recommendation. So just to be aware that our ability to comment is very limited.
And let me ask you guys a general question in reference to, since this is a recommendation only from you guys, how is that going to affect building permits? moving forward?
You'd have to check with safety and permits on that.
But from you, do you have to check
We don't issue a permit. We only make a recommendation.
But I think we still have to check off on...
That's what I mean.
We'll check the box in the permitting software that we have made our recommendation.
Okay, yeah. That's what I...
And that'll be a win state.
Okay.
Thank you.
We work together pretty hard. I mean, we'll make sure that when we get these shop drawings, we're all looking at it. Because we're just as concerned that they match.
Yeah, we will before we send it to you, you know, and make changes if we have to before we send it to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. I think my biggest concern is that while the building is rated yellow, assuming because it is outside the period of significance for the French Quarter, or at least not in the center of that, I think Christie schools in and of themselves are very often individually recognized as significant and designated individually. And I believe that the Orleans Parish School Board does know the importance of this building because, they have several Christie schools in the city that they have acknowledged being historically significant. So I think with the understanding that, you know, not only is this building a very prominent part of the French Quarter, that in and of itself, the historic significance of it, I feel like it elevates the sort of the stance or the approach to the preservation of it. Just like to stress that I think that in these instances, the replacement in kind of historic windows is one of the kind of most important and impactful things you can do. And so I was concerned about the wholesale replacement, but more importantly, I think the aluminum clad window options. There are so many windows here that I have trouble seeing being possible outside of a custom, you know, window. Yes.
We'll feel the same way. Mm-hmm. You might entertain a recommendation that we at least do a mock-up, which I'm not sure is in our contract.
We have to go through it.
Are we allowed
For one of the windows.
Yeah, you can do it every month.
It's just... it helps if I'm going to the school board. it'll take a little longer, the process. And we're a tight timeline.
Yeah. You can ask
for whatever you
like. I'd like to continue to allow any comments or questions from them.
I don't mean to, tell you what to do.
Have we asked for public comment?
Not yet. I just didn't know if I had cut you off between anything.
No, I really think that historic fabric ought to be left in place if it can. And, if these windows were not going to be operational, then that makes encapsulation a lot easier. And I don't see why they would need to be operational. Honestly, most buildings today are... Nobody uses windows anymore. We're mechanically ventilating everything.
Yeah.
Well, I would think in a three-story school, you would not be opening the windows for the children.
Right.
I would
jump out.
I'm concerned about them going over the roof.
Yeah. I mean, I would be happy for the children to have the option of fresh air ventilation into their rooms.
Thank you.
But I think, where I'm personally drawing the line is if it's not an exact replication of the window at these spots, then that, I feel like I would absolutely entertain a wholesale replacement in kind. I would have a lot more comfort in that, but. We do have to, let's move on. So we have two public comments. The first one is Nikki Savinsky.
Thank you so much for telling us, St. Philip, French Quarter citizens. Since this building is going to be empty for a year, I don't understand why they can't just remove all of the windows, assembly line them on site, and use an encapsulation paint stripper like Peel Away, or there's another one that Hope and Wilson uses a lot, which avoids the issue of dipping and removing the glue, but it also is a technique that is used worldwide on historic structures, museums, etc., on things as decorative as carved fireplaces,
and moldings to indoors and outdoors to remove old lead paint. And then recommend to the school board that they use a higher quality paint afterward and a higher quality glaze that's going to last a little longer. It might be more expensive in the beginning, but it will last longer, like a Dutch oil paint or something, and a better glaze than a little dap will do. So I think we're opposed to removing so much historic fabric on such a historic structure. And I think it's an excellent opportunity as well to demonstrate to school children and parents the importance of historic preservation and how it can be done and it can be done well. And lastly, there are numerous studies that wood windows perform just as well as far as keeping a building environmentally sound weather-wise.
Thank you. The next comment is from Erin Holmes.
Hi, Erin Holmes, BC4. I couldn't hear a lot of the conversation from the beginning when y'all were talking to the applicants, just because you can't hear back here. I'd love to maybe talk to the foundation about a system where we can hear back here. That's aside from this. Like Commissioner DiMaggio, this is kind of heartbreaking. The building itself is yellow rated, but the cultural significance, not only of it being a Christie school, but also kind of the heart and the last remaining kind of vestige of children in the French Quarter. Of course, there is definitely an emotional response, and the idea of ripping out all of these windows to be replaced by something that is very questionable to be reproduced in kind is something that we will take a lot of issue with. We really encourage the architects and applicants, the school board, to look at ways that a lot more of that fabric can be protected. I think Ms. Linsky had some really good ideas about the nuts and bolts of that preservation, but really just conveying the significance of that building obviously goes well beyond its length of duration or its style. It is really the heart of the French Quarter, and it really needs to be protected in a better way. I understand the school board, they're going to look for the best and cheapest solution, but wood windows, when they are properly repaired, they do safeguard the building even longer than new replacements. So I hope that we can find a better solution for this very important building.
Thank you. Do we have any additional comments or questions for the applicant at this time?
Oh, are we going to be making a recommendation today?
I think that is based on whether the motion presented is for a recommendation of some kind, or as Executive Director mentioned, if it is determined that we don't have enough information at the time to make a recommendation, we can make a motion for that. Like that.
Okay.
You can always defer, and if you want to see the other stuff that Juan is talking about, they can come back, and then you can make your recommendation. We don't feel like you have to do it now.
Okay. I mean, for something, for a building like this, individually significant as this, any information that we have, I think, is really relevant to it.
Yeah, we're going to start getting information back from the contractor.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to send it over to you guys.
Yeah. And while it's not completely focused on the form, I think this is the last building in the entire French Quarter that is strictly for residents of the French Quarter, if I'm not mistaken. Anything else is also servicing of public visitors, tourists. This is the one building that's for the French Quarter alone. So I do think that sort of profile of such an historically significant building is worthy of the as much thought of, you know, sensitivity as possible. With that being said, final words from the applicant, if any? None at this time. Do we have a motion?
Yes, in the matter of 721 St. Philip, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant an opportunity to provide some of the additional requested information, including possible proposed window details. I would also like to recommend that the applicant retain or replace in kind the existing windows to the greatest extent possible, and also noting in the staff report that the staff has taken no issue with the roof railing, so long as it's set back from the edge and the location of the mechanical equipment on the roof.
Thank you. I will second that motion.
Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. That's okay. Did you want to?
No, I'm about the rail comment, center back.
I believe his comment was that he acknowledged the staff report's
okay.
comments about
Got
having
it.
No issue, and
Got
I believe
it.
Your motion
so
was made encompassing those.
What you're waiting from us is for a window detail that's going to be closer to exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah, that would be
good.
Yeah.
Or
looking forward, if we can come back
yeah.
with that detail, I just have one question. If we come back with that detail and you see it, then we can check the box. We're in a pretty tight timetable.
Yeah. I would recommend that you also provide the button details of the existing ones so we can have that to compare it with.
Sure.
So that way you wouldn't have to worry about any further difference.
Existing and proposed.
Yeah.
Understood.
Little side
by side. You could also come back with agreement from the school board to repair or replace in kind.
We would also accept
that.
I just don't want to get in a thing where you're holding them up and they're not going to do something that you might want. And then, you know, if there is anything that you want to see that we can provide, we'll certainly have that. And the due date for that is today, right? Like the next meeting.
A little bit of wiggle room. Yeah.
So
yeah.
we could have a what?
A little wiggle room. You can have something.
We'll try and get a little wiggle room and work with you to see if we can get you what you need
yeah,
by the next meeting.
The timeline, like John was saying, the chiller is 48 weeks. To get here.
Well,
so.
That part, we're
yeah, I don't think that's
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but,
at least from our point of view,
permit.
I don't think that that's a
yes.
concern. Because that, you know, just
well,
the chiller alone is going to take
mechanical
all
is a different permit
here.
Anyway.
Okay.
Mechanical is a different
yeah.
permit.
Right. Good to see you guys.
But
thank
then,
you.
And we, thanks. The next item is 333 Burgundy. Do we have an applicant present? 333 Burgundy Street.
333 Burgundy?
Its applicant is Vincenzo Properties LLC. I think Rick always asks just to have it on the record.
Yeah.
Were they notified of the meeting?
Oh yes.
Yeah, and she emailed last week and asking if she would be here. I said I recommend that, yeah, that someone was here, familiar with the project, and I didn't hear back. So.
What is the pleasure of the committee?
Staff recommending that we defer?
Yes. I think this is a long
agenda,
and the people that are here deserve
yeah.
to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I agree. That's a good point.
Same.
And they've been waiting a while.
Yes.
In that case, I do have a motion. In the matter of 333 Burgundy, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant an opportunity to be present.
I would like to second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion for deferral passes until the next UCC meeting, I
yep.
assume. The item up is 717 Orleans Avenue. Do we have an applicant present for this?
That applicant has requested a deferral.
May I have a motion?
Noting the applicant's request, I move to defer this at the applicant's request, 717 Orleans.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The next item is 1020 Orleans Avenue. Do we have an applicant present for 1020 Orleans?
wow.
Paul E. Herks the fourth was the applicant notified of the meeting?
Yes.
What is the pleasure of the committee?
Noting that we have no applicant, I move in the matter of 1020 Orleans to defer to allow the applicant an opportunity to be present.
I'd like to second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion for deferral passes. Next we have 524 Esplanade Avenue. Is there an applicant present for 524 Esplanade Avenue? It is Russo Michael DBA Mason Masters. Was the applicant notified of the meeting?
Yes.
So this one has also been notified. Oh, what's the pleasure of the committee?
Noting that we have no applicant in the matter of 524 Esplanade Avenue, I move to defer to allow the applicant an opportunity to be present.
Thank you. I will second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Next we have 721 Governor Nichols Street. That is, we have a winner. we have an applicant present for 720.
Wayne put in the application.
We have an, seeing as we have an applicant present for 721 Governor Nichols, could we have the staff report?
Sure. 721 Governor Nichols is a blue-rated main building and rear building. And this is also 723 Governor Nichols, which is a green-rated main building and rear building. This is a proposal to create arched opening and previous property line masonry courtyard wall. Application materials received June 8th and May 23rd, 2023, respectively. A large portion of this property previously belonged to the neighboring 729 Governor Nichols property. The re-subdivision was recently finalized to redraw the property line and greatly expand the lot of 721-723 Governor Nichols. This proposal is to provide pedestrian access to the recently acquired land. During the review of the 729 Governor Nichols renovation and the proposed re-subdivision, an opening between the masonry wall that previously separated 723 and 729 Governor Nichols was discussed but never finalized. Now that the re-subdivision has been completed, the applicant is proposing to create this opening. In previous reviews and proposals, this opening has been shown with a gate or door in the opening. The applicant is now proposing a simple arched opening without any door or gate. The opening would be located between an existing covered porch area of 723 Governor Nichols and the new parking area to the rear of the formerly 729 Governor Nichols property. As this opening would no longer cross a property line, staff finds the proposed opening potentially approvable. The opening is noted as being 2 feet 6 inches wide by 7 feet tall with an arched top. Some kind of decorative banding is possibly shown in the elevation, but no details are provided. Although this is now one large property, staff finds it important to maintain some strong acknowledgments of the historic lot line. Although this may be better accomplished with an opening featuring a door, staff finds the proposed opening of opening small and inconspicuous nature, clearly indicating the historic separation between the properties. Staff recommends conceptual approval of the proposal with any final detailing, including details around the opening, to be finalized at the staff level.
Thank you. Could you state your name and address, please?
John Williams. I'm the architect for 721 and 729 both. And this is we combined and made one lot of record with actually a subdivision of the house and renovated the house that's on the 729 end. But there is a gate that you go through, so when we first considered this, we looked at putting a gate. We had one gate, two gates, and I think the owner then went to the person that's his relative that did the civil work and said, look, we won't have a gate, we'll just have an opening. We feel comfortable now. We feel comfortable enough that it's kind of like a big open, it's a big open space. I think they've Nick finalized that with the slurry. Did you check the slurry out?
I haven't seen it yet, but those.
They did some samples and then did it. And they're kind of complete. And the last thing they want to do is put the opening in between the two buildings. And I think a no-door approach to this is the right approach. It's just simple, you know, just an opening between the two. So I'm advocating for just putting the opening in.
Could you clarify, is the opening drawn with some sort of wood casing
it's
or trim?
It's probably narrower than I would have done it. I think this is literally his cousin, engineer from Lafayette, you know, just, he said, I guess if you talk with him, right, Wayne? I said, to remind Wayne, you got, you know, there's a deadline to apply, and I said I'll be there. If you want any details, you want the opening to be any other size, I'm happy to, I have actually a couple of details of the trim already. I can, you know, work with the staff. I think that's what Nick's suggesting, is that you approve the opening and let me work with him to come up with the trim around the brick, or maybe it's just brick.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I'll open the floor up for questions and comments from the commission before I
The location is a good location on the 721 side. If you go back there, if you show a picture of it.
Let's see.
Right there. I mean, literally, it's going to be, I could get up and show you, but it's, if you see the green kind of clump of grass there, not there, right there, about a foot and a half on either side of that. If you use that clump of grass and just go up, that's where the opening will be.
Do we have any comments or questions from the committee?
And the kitchen is just on the right.
In this photo, there's a light fixture kind of where you're...
We'll remove the light fixture.
Okay. And Tony's question was, is there intended to be a wood casing around the jamb of this?
He has a wood casing. I probably would go without a wood casing. We can work that out with the staff. I think it would be nicer just to be brick.
I do also agree. I was thinking, since there's no door bait present, just a masonry opening felt more appropriate to me. But shall we ask? I don't have any cards for public comment. Do we have any public comment on 721 Governor Nichols? Any final questions or comments? Any final comments?
No, thank you.
Great.
Been working on this pre-pandemic to now, so... get this one behind us right now.
Well, in that case, do we have a motion?
Yes, in the matter of 721 to 723, Governor Nichols, I move to conceptually approve the proposed masonry openings, opening with final details to be worked out at the staff level, and our recommendation to be work with the masonry opening to have no wood casing, to just be a plain masonry opening as drawn.
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes.
Thank you.
Next, we have 327 Bourbon Street, and we do have an applicant present. Can we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 327 Bourbon is a blue-rated building. Is it proposed to renovate building, including a section of the building? Application materials received October 13th, 2022, and May 31st, 2023, respectively. This application was deferred at the February 28th, 2023 meeting. Allow the applicant time to work on the HVAC plan, construct a mock-up, and submit a sightline survey. A mock-up has been installed on the roofs of the main building, and staff had an opportunity to observe and photograph the mock-up. Staff is quite alarmed at the visibility of the mock-up, in turn proposed mechanical equipment. Staff noted significant visibility from areas of Bourbon Street, Conti, and Dauphine. The applicant has previously stated that the equipment of this size would be a sort of worst-case scenario, but staff is quite concerned about the amount of visibility of this proposed equipment and overall impact on the blue-rated building. Staff noticed that prior to the unpermitted demolition of the rear enclosed gallery, mechanical equipment for this building was located on the roof of this portion of the building. Although equipment in this location still had some visibility and partially obscured some of the rear mansard-level windows, staff feels that equipment at this rear rooftop location had much less impact on the building compared to the proposed top-of-the-roof location. The previously existing equipment blended into the mass of the building, while the current proposal would add significantly more mass to the top of the building. Staff again suggests that since this rear portion of the building will be completely reconstructed, that the design of the reconstruction needs to incorporate the mechanical equipment in a sensible way, as it was prior to the demolition. As the guidelines state that the BCC does not allow installing visually obtrusive equipment, and staff finds the proposed equipment visually obtrusive, staff cannot recommend for installation in this proposed roof application.
Thank you so much. Could we have your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Erica Gates, Gates Reservation, 1026 North Charlton Avenue, consultant for the property.
David Karimi, Karimi Construction.
Thank you.
Miles Martin, 3328 Bank Street, architect of record.
Thank you all. Do you have a response or any commentary regarding the staff report?
Yes. As we know, this is a challenging project, and we've been here multiple times to get to this point. In regards specifically focused on this mechanical equipment placement, we've gone through many iterations of possibilities of where this equipment could be located and acknowledge there's no ideal location. We've evolved down this path through studying the other options, and this is where we've been presenting, as it seemed to be in our course of studying the other options, to the best evolved case was to get it high and up out of the way on our mansard roof that is flat on top of the main structure. As I mentioned too, the complications with this building too is this building's it's in a vacant state. We've had numerous permits issued on this structure. in regards to investing in demolition, to installing of tie rods, to stabilizing and shoring the structure up, and also we've received the roof permit to install the new roof on the structure. And as we sit here in hurricane season, we are still unable to install the new roof on this structure, obviously, because we're still trying to figure out what equipment is going to be located. And if it's located on this roof, we can't install a roof to then create our new penetrations and not integrate what could be potentially a roof rack on top of this roof. What we have done, though, in studying these roof locations, is last we left here after we had provided the drone photos from there, was at request of the commission here, is to install the roof flags on top of the roof. Creamy Construction, who is a change in contractor to add more horsepower and expertise to this project, that occurred about, a month and a half or 2 months ago, has certainly been helping us facilitate not only to get the roof flags up, but also engaging with his HVAC subcontractors to make sure no stone is left unturned in respect to equipment type. Right, we're right now the equipment that we're proposing up there is a VRF unit. The VRF unit, which we've got the cut sheet for, right? We're all trying to paint an accurate picture of what can be established up there. We've been confirming this all along, as we've also been advancing our construction documents the best we can, but also known hesitation that what we're presenting here has not been approved and is not final. So we are back here in front of you with our latest and greatest effort on the evolution for where this equipment can go. Since our last presentation on here, obviously I mentioned the rooftop has been flagged. We were also, our eyes opened up a little bit more and seeing the photographs and observing the flags, in situ up in the French Quarter, is the addition of a mechanical screen around the equipment. I know mechanical screens also bring their own problems. They don't help with the massing. They only make the elements that you're concealing masked out even bigger. So the flags that you're looking do contemplate that perimeter of the equipment rack and how high that rack would be, and the equipment itself, right, insets inside that rack and falls below that sight line of the panels up there. In the staff report, and also as shown, which was included in our last submittal of those previous design iterations, was the notion to locate this equipment in a less visible from a pure building massing standpoint, to then be located in respects to top, on the top of that fourth floor addition. Sorry, can you scroll forward? There's one more. Again, please. Sorry, keep going. One more. There, thank you. Slide 343. These are showing, right, some of our past iterations that we went down before with those mechanical designs. On the very left shows in that blue that three-story addition with that fourth floor occupying on that mechanical equipment up there, complete with a railing system around there. Obviously, we're at a roof edge, so we also have to contemplate roof edge protection. I think we're showing more of like a widow's walk look up there. Our concern at that time was the obfuscation of the dormer windows behind there. And then also the reality is of our number of units, the size of our units, and as we had located up there, the hard questions start to get asked is how do you access those units up there, and then the working clearances needed for those units in that space. And then as you see in that right option on the middle of the sheet, this is where we also had contemplated a complete change in the mechanical system, eliminating all the single units and moving forward with a cooling tower option. Cooling tower option, which is a big giant box that we would also look in the screening. Also scared us for the practicality options of if this piece of equipment breaks, it's not calling Joe's AC to come swap out one of the members, one of the units or the piece on it, the whole system's down. There's more noise concern, there's weight concern. That corner itself is a corner on the roof where existing mechanical equipment existed previously. That corner is a precarious corner as the roof lines come together. It was not installed properly, nor not detailed properly. The roof then leaked right there. The unit then leaked into the opening in the roof right there, and the building suffered significant damage in that existing wedge back there. So it was not an optimal location that we liked either, as we would have to access it by a roof hatch, to which there would be, again, a roof rack there, and then a screen and a handrail system around that. So we're, you know, we got then pushed and moved forward and advanced with the main roof rack on top of the main structure that we're here today with. So that is kind of just my kind of summary of how we got to here and how we kind of poked and prodded, right? As the architect, I was leading the charge certainly on a portion of that. As I mentioned, we brought in some more horsepower with Karimi Construction, and we have the owner David here too, who can share some information of where we're at with this current design and how it is.
Yeah, so one important thing to note, in the elevation here, the screening and AC sit at 6'9" off the roof deck.
The one in the bottom left corner.
It would be on the top main roof.
Which
would go back to.
Yeah.
You got
that. Okay.
Yes. So that is dimensionalized in elevation at 6'9". Last week and yesterday, we have reached out to the manufacturers and suppliers, and these units will actually sit at 6'2", 11/16", which is a net savings of 6 inches. So it's a drop. Mm-hmm. So what we're seeing here, it's actually 6 inches better, and that includes an 8-inch curve.
And that was one of the things, sorry to interject here. Last time we presented this, we did present this purely as a rack that stood off of the roof, to which we then needed that 8-inch working flashing clearance below the rack. It was suggested to us, could we put these units on sleepers? We then huddled back up. We liked that idea, and we did incorporate that now. So as we're talking about a rack, this is more of these units are sitting on curbs that are then engaged with the roof. So we made our efforts to tamp down the height of the rack by looking at the substructure that it's sitting on and not putting it on curbs, right? As David is sharing as well, getting back to the manufacturer, making sure we're dialed into the dimensions, making sure our HVA subcontractors are also in agreement on how these units can be installed.
Yeah. I'd like to just say thank you very much for not only the thoroughness of the investigation y'all have done to make this as accurate as possible, but also the multiple views and sort of diagrams and information that it's really easily comprehended. It's really appreciative for something kind of this big.
David, what's your, you just came on a month and a half ago. I've seen you have some pretty creative responses to mechanical in places. What are you?
Well, this
I'm just
is
curious.
This is a tough one. The VRF units do tend to be a little bit taller, but they also greatly reduce the amount of units that you have to use on a building. So there's a really, you talk massing, you know, massing, really big massing. And so they're proper for this. They also allow us to run ductless with all the historic crowns and so forth without interfering with fur downs. There's a big benefit to them there. So this is a tough one. This building in general is a tough one. The cost to renovate this building is surprisingly high. The mansard roof and the way it's constructed and the work that it needs to be done is intense. So relative to all the buildings I've done in the quarter, this will probably be one of the highest square foot costs to do. Just mention that because someone has to be able to pay for that, no matter who it is. So this is tough. I mean, what we really spent our time doing is going back to the manufacturer and choking these units down as much as possible and getting rid of a rack. And then getting with our roofing contractors and our HVAC contractors, getting everyone to agree on how to do a curb system that's really tight. I have it at 8. Might be able to get it down to 6. You know, no one pinching inches, but that's kind of what we're trying to do here. You know, which cuts from what we're seeing here just over 6 inches out.
And I'm glad David mentioned, too, part of the decision on these mechanical systems is to, I know VCC here, we're looking at the exterior, but I know the interior is just as important. This is a SHPO project. So we're going along with the approvals in this room. In parallel, we're working with SHPO on our part twos just as well on this. And that's where SHPO really comes in when we start looking at the original ceiling medallions that are still in space, the original crown that's still in space, right? This was a residence from 1830s that were in here, and we included the floor plan in here showing the existing and the proposed. And the proposed use is really trying to maintain the large parlor rooms in the main structure. We're lucky that we're building this rear three-story addition on the back, which, as we know, fell precariously through fault of its construction of its own inadequateness. And this new addition on the rear is where all our modern-day technology is. It's where our restrooms are. It's where the outdoor equipment has the communicating pieces on the inside with the dehumidifiers, with the air handlers. This is where we're all trying to squeeze in all that stuff on the rear of the building. And the elevator included, we have ADA accessibility we're fighting through and all this. And those old pictures that we have of that original construction on that rear addition, to which I know we've kind of circled around before and just gone, if you could just carve out the volume on this rear addition, the way it had an open porch on that second floor, and then we can kind of inset those units in there. The problem is that that's where our bathrooms are, and that's where all the other technology pieces that we didn't want to just start dropping ceilings everywhere and conceal all of the historical features on the inside.
So why though, I mean, I know we've talked about this a million times, so forgive me. So just remind me why we couldn't put the equipment on top of that third story build-out?
Well, when we first presented that, which is that image on the left-hand side, when we were not contemplating the main structure of the roof, the negative on the equipment on the three-story addition was the loss of the dormers of the sight line, number one, from the property, internal of the property itself. Number two, it was the feasibility of squeezing all those six units up there, which was extremely tight, and as far as those equipment needing the clearances, those clearances of how they interacted with the railing pieces in front, and then even accessing up there with at the height of it, you're not allowed just to throw an extension ladder up there to get there. You have to install a permanent way to access that equipment on there. And to further complicate it too, is this if our construction documents is involving, as we have a contractor now fully engaged, we've met with the elevator subcontractor who tuned us into more of the elevator cut sheet requirements, and even the elevator bulkhead is causing a little bit of that volume to rise higher as well. So we didn't have, there is painting the pictures, at least we had the luxury of this long rectangular roof that was newly constructed where we had this real estate. That real estate that was maxed out before, which we were scratching our head out, we were gonna try to solve some of the access and clearance issues, has gotten even smaller. So even if we were to throw all the units onto this back rear, which we're not talking about the water heaters, which the water heaters right now are shown on the main inside the enclosure rack. We can't fit them all up there if we wanted to. So then we're back to, okay, there's a balance of two units. Where are we going to put those other two units if we've saying the main structure of the roof is a no-go? So then we start looking at the other roofs, and we start looking at the other roofs, and we're still in the same kind of conversation as, yeah, the sight lines suck. You can see this thing from everywhere. And I don't want to say we're getting, the building's also in a tough position because the property behind the building isn't developed as a parking lot. So if there was a building there, we'd eliminate one of these big, large views. Granted, if you're in that building, you can still see it. If you're in a balcony here, anywhere you go, there's a sniper's position to see this.
Well, I agree, but I do think that the idea of changing the roof form, you know, the form of the building is much more compromised with this idea from many, many points of view than if the, you know, the dormers are obscured from the rear, or I mean, at least it doesn't change the skyline profile of the building. So we recognize the fact that mechanical equipment is visible in the real world, but it's different when it breaks that profile. I think it becomes more problematic.
And I'd like to add, because I do remember that conversation, and I think in the hopes of the sight line study, having it feel much more minimal visually. I believe I was actually one of, I never remember my comment being, you know, if it were minimally visible because we have that flat part, then I would rather, you know, something that's minimally visible and like clearly equipment over like blocking, you know, the dormer windows on the roof shape. So I remember having that conversation as well. I think the, I think this is a lot more visible than we were kind of anticipating it being.
I thought it was a lower, but I, yeah. Also, is there, and I'm just throwing this out there, I don't know, is there a possibility that you could break this up? Could you put three on the back and three on the top? I mean, like, does this have to be all six?
Yes.
Like, could we make this, could we compromise? Could we make this smaller? Could we move it further down the, you know, so it's not sitting so high. I don't.
So you're talking about moving a few of the units to the new construction
building?
Yeah. I mean, I think what we can do, and we did some numbers on this once we got these mechanical numbers. If we did a flat roof on this building, left the sidewall at the same elevation, the same height, but actually inset the roof, let's call it 10, 12 inches. So almost imagine like a parapet, you wouldn't really see it, okay? In doing that with the new height of these units at 6'2", we believe, remember we did this in our office, Miles has to draw this out, but off of our calculations, the top of that unit would sit right at or below the window sill.
Of the dorms,
right.
So you would gain the visual outward. It wouldn't be obscuring, if you were standing in the inside looking out the dorm, it wouldn't be obscuring the window, it would be directly underneath it, but we just have the issue of when you look up, it's going to at least partially obscure that.
Probably from the courtyard, but if you're looking up from like other parts of the city or balcony over behind us, it probably would not obscure.
I think historically we've been less concerned about people in the courtyard, you know, looking at it as opposed to other
buildings.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm just wondering if there's some sort of like, I mean, this is huge.
Yeah.
This is enormous.
Sure. And it's also good to keep in mind, because we kind of talked a little bit in the staff report about the previous air conditioning situation in this building, and it is important to keep in mind that the upper floors of this building were significantly underutilized, not really occupied, and the air conditioning that existed on this rear gallery addition at that time was 2 5-ton residential units. So that was the extent of the air conditioning that served that portion of the building, and so we're looking at dehumidifiers and kind of more sophisticated equipment, and unfortunately those are, you know, so they serve the building better than the haphazard air conditioning that was there before. So because it's more comprehensive and we have these larger units, it's making it more challenging than anything that, you know, of course those also didn't meet code, they weren't, you know, there's no railing and no access, etc. So
I will say
a lot more challenges to the new proposal.
I just think if there's three on the roof, you've made that even small. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm gonna. This is a really difficult.
I just give my comments so I could go to CPC.
Oh, okay. I just like to say we'll take public comment now since the public commenter needs to leave.
Appreciate that y'all are really thinking this out, and I think Renee is onto something. Maybe in the new construction, you could break it up per floor, but the thing on the roof screams Havana Outpost nightmare. So we hope that we can avoid that. So, thank you.
And with that, we'll call for any other public comments afterwards. But this is nothing easy about this property. I feel like I don't want to have the ire of preservationists everywhere pointed towards me. But I do feel that my personal, like, feelings as we're kind of going through this process and the conversations we've had throughout your returns to the architectural committee is, for me, I'm weighing, would you mind going to slide 346, please? It's kind of always been,
thank you.
Kind of always been this sort of the problem I have is that it looks like a part of the building. I mean, I feel like I'm one of the few people in this world who like thinks that other human beings tend to just block out like power lines and things from my brain. And so for me, it's like if it looked like mechanical equipment, it would probably bother me a lot less than it looks like a part of the building on top of the building. And then you could still see the dormers and the roof shape. But I do feel like that's not something that most people agree with when I say it out loud. Because I feel like that's the reason that this shape is affecting the roof shape, which is such a prominent part of the blue-rated building. But every building has to have mechanical equipment, and hopefully, although, you know, I guess it's too much to hope that in 25 or 50 years, we have much better systems for mechanical equipment and we won't need it anymore. And you can just take it off. But I mean, like, I understand, like I said, that's not a typical response to this sort of situation. But I'm going to say it because I'm one of the two people here on this committee, so I feel like it's worth mentioning. And would you say, I was a part, but let me just...
We have absolutely considered, the discussion was had about breaking them up into the gallery and having something on the roof that, of course, reduces our footprint of what's on the roof, but it doesn't significantly reduce the height of what's there, so that's kind of...
My concern is that then you have the thing on the roof, and then you also have the thing blocking the windows.
Yeah.
And so what's the, like, lesser of evils here? Lesser of evils is putting it in that corner position, but...
One of the things about this architecture, though, is that roof form is a major, major component of what makes Second Empire architecture, you know, a thing. So it's one thing if it's just, you know, changing a hip roof on, you know, versus, you know, a major, major form giver.
Right.
Of the building.
No, exactly. And that's why I was thinking that because of the screening, it feels like it is altering the roof form, or as if it feels like it was just mechanical equipment on top of the roof, maybe it would be less offensive in terms of that. I mean, although at the same time, you're kind of undermining the ornamental quality of it. Would you like to speak now?
Yeah.
That's what the other committee members speak.
I remember way back when, did we look at a solution that involved having all of those VRFs kind of in the alleyway up high above all the trash cans?
So there are two there now.
But I thought we looked at one that had them all.
But those are for the dependency. Keep in mind,
we had some distance issues with putting them all in that area.
Got it. My second question is the roof access hatch is kind of biased toward the back of this configuration. And I'm wondering, I was just looking at the fourth floor and I couldn't tell if that roof access hatch lands in space called cage or dancer makeup.
Right in front of that cage, so you're right outside the stair and the landing and kind of a common hallway access. At the same time, that's a private floor up there that's, you know, it's where the workers are getting prepared, and there's an office up there. We can, also, if you say, if you 180 this roof rack, we'll move that hatch, we can say yes. We'll let the hatch be where the hatch needs to be to help with the bigger picture.
Yeah, I was just wondering if maybe that does help, because your screening doesn't need to be high for the hatch. It needs to be high for the equipment, and perhaps the screening... it's just a guardrail at that point in front of the hatch.
The screening as it's drawn on here would be 6 inches higher than what I need it to be. I believe the screening needs to be as high as the units.
Even with that, I guess it's not much distance, but if you look at the roof plan, you've got a good 10 feet maybe, or maybe less than that.
I do appreciate the comment that the masonry is solid and could be mistaken for the roof form, right? We get torn too of the purpose of the screen is so you don't see the mechanical equipment, but then I could raise the screen higher so you can kind of peek under the dress and see the mechanical equipment, so you know at least through the silhouette that there is stuff we're trying to hide, and we're not trying to make it look like a couple of a roof form coming out the top. We've had those conversations as well.
Are these VRFs located on the roof where they need to be, or can they slide back?
they can slide anywhere on that roof.
I guess you centered them because we were concerned also about the view from the courtyard. But
Could three go in the alley and three on, I don't know. I'm just like, it's just, it's a lot.
And when we talk about the alley too, so we can clarify, because there's two sides to the alley. If we put it, I want to say, plan left against the wall of the alley, right, we need to run the equipment lines to the building. And we don't want to run those underground. We've been warned not to do that by our equipment suppliers and HVAC contractors. So then we'd be bringing the units closer to the building, and then the scares, then we're blocking windows. And are you following?
What about if this area here was inset where there was a well for the equipment located down here? Has that been?
Is that the blue where the cutting of the roof?
Yeah, but it's better than that.
I mean,
yeah. This, you know, I think would be very minimally visible from every location. You know, we've looked at doing that in other places before.
Maybe I'm sure the buildings in the French Quarter to have something that's tight. Now you just have to be concerned about making sure it drains well. And
yeah, Brian, likewise, you could take the corner of the roof where the two back buildings meet. Yes.
Less, maybe more visible, but, you know, I mean, I think it's anything would be better than this, from so many locations, visually.
Yeah. And have you talked to the SHPO about this as well? Because I feel like they would raise a concern over this as well, but I don't know the conversations you've had with them. I'm just concerned that we're going to go through all this, and we're going to be like, let's find an answer. And then they're, like, going to come back and have an issue with impact on the reform.
It's a little bit of a chicken and egg, as happens often with SHPO and BCC, is who, you know, someone's got to kind of commit first. They have seen some of our iterations, but we haven't given them like the full scope we do here. It's just, you know, not the same kind of venue. But generally, they were kind of defaulting to what BCC decides, but they haven't.
That's a first.
They'll come back and tell us if they don't. You'll pick something and they'll come back and tell us if they don't like it.
No offense to the SHPO. My concern is because we have to find a solution that actually works and is to code and meets our standards, because we are in the way of a certificate of occupancy, but they're not. And so they're going to come in and say, well, we just don't like it, so you just don't get tax credits. And that's the problem, because they don't have to bend on their rules. So that's the only reason I brought it up at this stage, because we are going to find an answer somewhere. We have to.
Mm-hmm.
Was this building used for this purpose prior? And how was it serviced mechanically?
It was underserviced. That was the largest issue. As I mentioned, the only units on the roof of that gallery addition were small commercial units, lots of haphazard pieced together work was done inside this building. There were a couple of units where you see the kind of fenced-in section down here. There were additional units for the first floor. The bulk of the occupation was in the first floor. There was much significantly less. There was no occupation whatsoever on the fourth floor. It was very minimal on the second, third floor. And then there was a little bit more used towards the back in those smaller rooms for private functions. So there was a little bit more air conditioning use there, but the upper floors of this building were largely kind of abandoned of mechanical use. So we're dealing with an entirely different kind of level of use and trying to address that need, trying to get this building kind of, you know, functioning fully.
Yep.
This is probably already been covered, but how do these units discharge? Which direction?
Vertical.
Yeah, we've explored horizontal. Make sure too that we were just prematurely picking tall units. Make sure are there horizontal units, because these be addressed at all costs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to drag this out, but I just feel like this is a really important conversation, and the amount of times that you have come back here kind of requires us to really hash it out at this point. Is there any other public comment, since we kind of went out of order with Ms. Levinsky, so if she could leave? Okay. Steven? so tall.
It's been a long road, and I think, you know, we've kind of worked together on this through multiple meetings to get to this point where now we realize it's monstrous. So I'm not really sure how to... I'm not sure how to address that. Sounds like Tony's amenable to the massing.
I mean, at this point, that's my personal opinion for the building, but sort of in line with what Dr. Burgoyne is saying, we have to evaluate that the French Quarter is the most significant thing, and this does impact the French Quarter's silhouette more than blocking the gables. But I mean, I do also think that I made my point about the screening making it, giving it a more formal appearance or presence than I would be excited about.
I don't want to deny this and it gets held up even longer. Do you think there is another? I'm asking you because you're new.
Do you
think there are some options you can come back to us with?
Look, we when they came in to come back and resubmit this, we took three people on our team and dove into this last week. We not only know with the supplier, but we got the manufacturer rep down here because this equipment gets very complicated. Some of these units are DOAS, so we can suck some of that moisture out. As you were saying before, that it was kind of under-conditioned, which resulted in some of the termite damage, wet wood, and so forth, years and years and years. So we dove into this really hard. It's a tough situation, and it's probably one of the coolest buildings on Bourbon Street, but some of that coolness makes it really difficult to deal with, and that's kind of where we are. So to your point earlier, on the back building, the new construction building, we have about 25 feet by 8 feet, and you can see where the elevator penthouse tips a little higher there, but the section next to it is about 25 feet by 8 feet. We could fit probably three units on that roof, having them come to the top or the bottom side of the windowsill. Maybe four. We'd have to really look at that. But half on the roof versus, you know, is a victory to me. And so we take that massing down on the roof, maybe it becomes less of a part of the roof, as you were saying, and it kind of masses into being a part of the building. Maybe that helps our case.
I disagree. I think, to me, and that's just my one opinion, that anything on that mansard that alters that roof form that has now been shown to be that visible is very, very detrimental to the significance of this period. That's just me. Even if it's three units, if it's six units, it's still a big rectangle on the top.
Well, I'm thinking you slide it back and move it a little. You don't keep it in the middle if it's three. Do you understand what you said?
Yeah, back to the picture of from behind without the screening, just of the flagging. Give a little.
It might be at the beginning.
Yeah.
Or there.
Yeah. No, keep going.
There we go. Yeah.
Just give a little. That, I mean, that's actually where you're standing. That's about as close as the human can see it.
So half of, like, thinking.
So I'm just, you know, once you take the screening off, it kind of gives a little bit more of an impression of not being that giant mass.
This is possible.
If we were to make it any smaller. This is really the only, absolute only way you can see it on Bourbon Street, and it's really just kind of the front edge of it. That obviously, if you pushed it back, you wouldn't be able to see it from Bourbon Street. All you have to stand
is this exact spot
between the two buildings. You can take the buildings to see from there. Kind of the same thing here, but from the back, in that you kind of just have to stand in a certain spot to see it. The only full view is from the dock.
I mean, I'm not saying it would work. I'm just saying.
It's not big ideas. I think the issue is it's a really difficult position.
If you were able to get three or four onto the roof of the new construction at the back of the building, do you think then you could fit two onto the gable that Brian pointed out at the blue-rated surface cell?
Right there?
Yeah, right there.
Cool. I think we could. maybe
what
more.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're going to break into that roof, then put as much as we can on that.
I mean, even if you don't break into it, it still does slope
right
down. And if you're only doing two,
it's
wide enough that you could, you know, and if they're up above that valley that's there a little bit, but not, you know, they'd still be below the ridge.
I don't know if this is possible or not, but like I would like to acknowledge that the amount of work that you put into this every time that we have seen it has been significant. And so I don't know if just due to this being such a sensitive project because of the concern over setting a precedent, first of all, I think just at the highest level, but mostly because of there not being any good answer, that do you think it's possible, or do you think this is even an idea worth considering, that like we take this and then that that approach that we talked about and have it go to the full commission so that it's across the board, everyone looking at it from the same point of view and saying like these are the best options we have.
That would be fine, but they're going to need time to work on this, and in the meantime there's two more ARC meetings, so
that's not as good. I'm just trying to find a way forward for them so that they don't have
those
to
two options and get that back here.
So those two options being the new construction building, and then also the gable on the back over here.
Somehow splitting it.
And Tony, to your point, you know, and just speaking in honest terms, how do I say this? I think that our commissioners tend to take the advice of the architecture committee exclusively.
No, it's true, yeah. And they've sent stuff back to us that we've sent to them specifically for that purpose.
So I don't know that, I worry that would end up being more of a delay.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I mean, again, your point of there being two more architectural committee meetings makes sense. I was just trying to find something that felt like it wasn't a standstill, because I don't think that it is a standstill. And I think that,
I think
we're all working, we're all here trying to find the answer, and no one has been working harder than the applicant on finding an answer and presenting everything truly, fully,
So appreciate the mock-up. That's helped us so much to be able to understand that idea. And I think that we are at a place where, if you could defer it, go back and explore these options, that we could, we're like at a solution.
And really mathematically, I mean, I think that was always where we were stuck with it on that new construction, was like, is this actually going to fit with the rail, with the size of the unit, talking to the mechanical guy, we're always sort of stuck there. But now having all this information.
I'd like to point out, we keep calling it new construction. It is new construction now, but it was very old construction, and it fell down or was demolished mysteriously. And the intent of the requirement to rebuild it was to recreate it exactly. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that, because we keep calling it new construction. If we're going to treat it like new construction, that's one thing, and we should treat it like an addition, and it's got an elevator penthouse on it. I don't know the extent to which it can look like it did, because we're stuffing a lot of stuff in there. I did note, and this is really small compared to the huge discussion we're having, but like the column spacing is not even because of that elevator, and probably to squeeze in that window into the bathroom, we made a wider space, there's more narrow space, so just bringing that up, that I might have some comments on the design of the new construction. But also agree that probably locating the mechanical on the roof of that could be the best solution.
Well, I do feel like we have to move on, and thank everyone for their patience. But would the applicant like to make any final comments before?
I just like some clarity. So the new construction, that option for some units there, the gable, correct, Ryan?
Yeah.
Right. The gable is rather steep, just from visually looking at it. We'll get out there and see what we can get in that area. Is it an option, is it a positive option if we could take the corner where the buildings met, maybe on the chimney, yeah, the chimney to the back parapet, but more in the back because the parapet's high, and putting a unit or two there?
I'd rather there than there.
Okay.
Personally. This is me.
You guys feel the same?
Yeah, I think looking at a variety of options.
To do that, you're talking about cutting. You're talking about going down to the ceiling rafters. So basically taking that part of the roof out.
Let's do that as a last resort.
Okay.
I don't want to be too... This is also blue-rated, so I don't want us to be too enthusiastic about ripping that open if we don't have to.
We'd rather see it go in the other spot.
Yeah.
We'd rather see it go in that other spot.
On the roof there instead of ripping out.
Okay, so on the roof, I thought you were talking about actually...
Well, let's see what we can do. Okay. Give us some... Tell us what the reality is. Okay.
Because you're going to know the reality more than we are. Yeah.
Just a quick question, I guess, because we are trying to move forward with the roof replacement, particularly on the main building, with the hurricane season, I feel like we're pretty resoundingly against.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to factor, if there's a chance of a platform.
Like, let us know in just a minute.
To defer, that's what he's saying.
I might be in a different camp than Tony, but I'm kind of opposed to having it on the roof. I'm with Brian that I think it makes a big difference.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to have screening, then I don't think that is successful. But I'm not going to stand in the way of an answer being made, so I am listening to the conversation and taking it into account.
I don't think we want to stand in the way of y'all.
Oh no, I just meant
waterproofing the building.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
Do we have a motion?
Yeah. Noting the tremendous amount of work that the applicant has put into finding a solution that's workable for this building, and our gratitude for that patience and level of commitment to this building, I move to defer this matter, 327 Bourbon, to allow the applicant another stab at locating the mechanical on the rear balcony roof. New construction, and potentially the service wing with potential for a variety of configurations to be presented.
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay.
Thank you,
guys. We'll meet again.
Yeah. Proceed with the roof.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Put your roof on. next, we have 201 Charters and 205, 207 Charters. And we have an applicant present. Thank you so much for your patience.
Sure.
May we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 201 Charters is a green rated 1850 building. 205-07 Charters is a green rated building with a, now I'm going to have to double check that because that says green to yellow. So that might, I'm going to double check that rating. but it is circa 1830. This is a proposal to alter millwork and install mechanical equipment in conjunction with a change of use to restaurant and a re-subdivision. Per application and materials received February 24th, 2023 and May 30th, 2023 respectively. During the course of this review, staff discovered that the proposed work at 201 Charters also utilized the interior of 205-07 Charters. According to applicant, the interiors of these separate properties have been commingled and used together since at least its use as the previously existing culinary school. Apparently, the interior of the upper floors, where residential units are located, are also commingled across the property line. These two properties were independently owned until the 1960s, when they came under shared ownership. The buildings were recently sold to a new owner, but remain separate properties. The buildings are not twins, and only appear to be more similar than they are due to their shared paint scheme. In fact, 205 07 Charters is a twin of 209 13 Charters. Since this project involves both properties, the applicant is also applying to re-subdivide 201 and 205 07. Staff is unsure why this was not required by zoning when the plans for the culinary school were first approved, as integration of interior spaces across property lines does typically require re-subdivision. The application materials for the re-subdivision have not yet been submitted, but will be forwarded to the commission for their consideration along with the proposed change of use. The applicant has submitted plans to convert the previous culinary school into a standard restaurant, reusing much of the mechanical equipment already in place. One new train condenser, measuring approximately 36 by 42 by 41, will be installed at the rear mechanical yard at grade. The sound output is listed at 76 decibels, but staff finds this reasonable for a unit this size installed with other equipment in an isolated part of the site. The applicant also submitted specs for an air curtain to be installed at the main entries at Charters in Iberville. While air curtains are installed on the interior and are not addressed directly in the guidelines, they are within BCC purview depending on where they are mounted, as they can have a detrimental effect on the appearance of the millwork, particularly transoms. The air curtain measures 72 by 20 by 12 and is shown in section above the transoms, so it should not interfere with their appearance. Violations. The proposal addresses violations at both 201 and 205-07 as follows. The inappropriate door installed on the Iberville elevation of 201 will be replaced with a new outswinging door. Two options are presented: an aluminum frame glass door with a dark anodized bronze finish, or a Spanish cedar door with a single recessed panel below and a large light above. Staff does not find either door to be appropriate to the age and style of the building, which would have likely had a solid paneled wood door, but the second door is more appropriate for the district than the first. The unpermitted Iberville side intercom will be removed, but the replacement keypad proposed is also large and obtrusive, measuring 14.3 by 5.8. Its depth is not specified, but the applicant proposes to recess it into the wall so the face of the intercom is 1/2 inch behind the stucco. Staff recommends the applicant explore smaller, shallower options that will not disrupt the historic fabric to this extent, as this technology has improved substantially over the last several years. The sheet metal cornice at 205-07 Charters has became loose during Hurricane Ida and is hanging from the building over the right-of-way. The applicant proposes to install a new cornice to match the building at 709-13 Charters. Other miscellaneous violations include demolition by neglect for stucco and paint and work without permit violations, including installation of a PVC downspout and plexiglass at windows, will be addressed. Overall, staff has a proposed mechanical work, including the air curtain, to be approvable as submitted. Staff recommends the committee forward a positive recommendation to the commission regarding the change of use. Staff does not have a recommendation regarding this re-subdivision at this time, and notes that the City Planning Commission requests a recommendation from the commission, but is not bound by their decision. Staff recommends deferral of the Iberville side millwork and intercom, with the applicant to return with revised proposals. Given the change of use and overall renovation, staff does not object to allowing the rest of the renovation to proceed while these items remain under review, as they can be handled as a change order at a later date. Staff has a proposed work to address the remaining violations at both properties to be conceptually approvable.
Thank you so much. May we have your name, address, and relation to the property, please?
Samuel Bodigo, address 3425 North Rampart Street. Relation to the property, architect on the project.
Great, thank you so much. Do you have a response to the staff report?
I think it's fairly favorable. I would say that the former use, Crescent City Cooks, was a banquet venue and a cooking school that that did banquets up to 60 people. I think it's a very similar use that we're putting mm-hmm. back into it. We're replacing the interior hood, or actually two interior hoods, but they are trying to reuse the existing exterior exhaust fan. There are 16 apartments on the upper floors, and a small portion of that portion of the building that kind of sticks out to the right, that little wing piece, is a one-story flat roof that has all the mechanical units for the upper floors, and then the two units that are shown just below that mass are in a little courtyard, existing units for a restaurant. And we're adding a third unit into that courtyard down below. Exterior-wise, the scope of our project was really going to be remove the French doors around the perimeter, clean them up, and rehang them on new hinges. We submitted information on the hinges that we wanted to use for it. And most of those bays are three small door bays, and two of the doors are hinged to each other, and then the third is hinged to the opposite side of the opening. The air curtains are hidden up above the transom, and we're trying to use two of them at the main entry of the building. I didn't see this really largely. It's completely an interior job, and then I didn't know about the violations when I signed on board with the owners on it. So once I found out about the violations, wanted to include, my experience was that the permit was going to be denied if we didn't address the violations. So that's sort of how it led into the exterior work on the project being more than just the rehab of all of those perimeter doors.
And the mechanical equipment as well was always going to be...
That one in the courtyard like yeah. that, yeah. I will say that courtyard is buried below other buildings that are all around it, and the unit that we're putting into it, it would be a stretch that any of the neighboring properties could see down into that building. I will make one last stab at that aluminum door that I submitted on it. It has an offset pintle hinge. It's a very small opening right now. The door itself is a hollow metal door that's in there, and the frame is sort of buried into or behind the stucco returns. It's a deep wall. It's sort of like an alcove to it. And the frame is literally buried to where all you really see right now is a hinge and the door on it. And I was trying to do something. I thought that I gave the option for a Spanish cedar door, thinking that would be more favorable to the commission. But I really hope that we could get that aluminum door. It has this offset pintle hinge that allows a wider opening with kind of the same size door. I think it's a very good quality door. It's very, it goes good with the keypad that you guys probably reject also. But I think that there's a nice juxtaposition of it to all the other doors around the perimeter as opposed to going back with the wood door.
Let me ask you this about the doors with the hinges that you submitted.
Uh-huh.
You're just replacing the hinges. You're not changing the operation of the doors
no,
at all, right?
No, it's going to remain a door that's operable mainly just from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Cremone bolts or little latches that go, flush bolts that go up and down.
But as far as the way that they operate now, there's nothing, the way that they swing and keeping them kind of within the envelope of the building rather than kind of onto the, okay,
yeah.
Great.
Thank you. Do we have any questions or comments from the committee?
No.
Would you be open to continuing the discussion about the door, the side door and the intercom with the staff?
Absolutely.
If their recommendation was taken to allow all of the work to continue?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my hopes were to be able to move forward with the restaurant work and then address this other stuff as we can. You know, of course, I wouldn't replace the keypad or the door or anything that needs to be done without. And then on the cornice piece, we took our best shot at getting the profile correct on that cornice and the attachments that were there. But honestly, until construction starts and I have a lift out at the site and I can actually get up there and scribe the seven the 7-0 whatever next door building to match it identically to make sure that that cornice goes up to match perfectly.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Well, I mean, they are one continuous cornice.
I don't have any public comment card, but is there any public comment? No public comment. Any further questions or comments from the committee?
No.
And a final word to the applicant, if necessary?
No.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
Yes. In the matter of 201 charters and 205 to 07 charters, I move to approve the proposed mechanical work and forward a positive recommendation to the commission for the change of use, and to conceptually approve the Iberville Millwork and Intercom with the applicant to work out the final details at the staff level, and all remaining violations to be conceptually approved and details to be worked out at the staff level.
Yes, I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thank you. Please work with the... Is Aaron, is this your project?
Yeah.
Please work with Aaron to finalize everything before permit issuance and work.
Question about the millwork, though, before we move on. Do y'all have any guidance as far as whether or not the aluminum one would be considered at all, or if it does need to be wood, or if that would have any glass in it at all? Because the previous door was just a paneled wood door.
Yeah.
And that is what we would expect to normally find there, but since that is an elevator lobby, he was trying to get some light into it.
It is difficult because this does make it more of a front door, or, you know, a pedestrian door, whereas that was a very service-oriented door. Right. And that sort of location does kind of merit a more service-oriented door. I think that if there are different options available for the design of it, and there is something that the staff finds an acceptable substitute, but I think also if there is a point where there's a question in the air about it, that could always come back to us as well as the intercom.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd give you a chance to work with Aaron to find out, depending on you know, how much you meet in the middle.
Sure.
If it goes by the guidelines, then we don't even have to come back. Uh-huh. And if it doesn't, but you want to present your option, we can look at it then.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. I'm sorry to take
thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have 422 Burgundy. Thank you so much for your patience. And may we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 422 Burgundy is a green-rated main building and rear service building. We did propose to renovate rear building and address violations, including proposal to retain conditions of missing windows and openings and no balcony decking. Application materials received May 8th, 2023 and May 15th, 2023, respectively. Staff issued a permit on March 7th to remove vegetation from the rear building, sound replace stucco at the first floor level, and repoint the masonry at the second floor level. There are several other issues related to the green-rated rear building that have previously been cited by staff. The major issues of concern to staff are missing windows at the second floor level, exposed wood outriggers with no balcony decking or railing, and structural ties that have previously been installed in the building. The applicant proposed to install a window and shutters at the ground floor level of the rear building. Photographs show an intact four-light sash in the only ground floor window opening, with the bottom sash being replaced with plywood. Additional information will be needed for the exact scope of the window work and millwork details, but staff finds this aspect of the proposal conceptually approvable. At the second floor level, photographs indicate two window openings with beadboard shutters at the rear Dauphine elevation, with an additional window and door opening on Burgundy elevation of the rear building. The applicant proposed to repair or replace the shutters at these openings, but not to install any windows or doors in these openings. The applicant states that there was no millwork in these openings when they purchased the building approximately 30 years ago. Documents from the 1970s note the presence of three apartments on this property. Given the small size of the property, this implies that the rear building was occupiable at that time. If the millwork was removed from the rear building prior to current ownership, it would have been done between the mid-1970s and 1992. Staff finds the absence of millwork in these openings contrary to general preservation practices. Although shutters in the openings help weatherize the building, proper millwork would make the building significantly more weathertight as well as usable. Given the amount of time that has elapsed, according to the applicant, staff is unsure how to proceed, but notes it does not appear that there was any record of this condition prior to the 2020 violation case. Staff recommends that appropriate windows and doors be installed in these locations. The rear building formerly featured a balcony in the Burgundy elevation. At some point, the majority of the balcony elements were removed, leaving only the wood balcony outriggers in place. The applicant stated that Imri Hegedis, an architect and former BCC member, visited the property and noted that termite damage done to the balcony was dangerous and should be removed. The balcony elements were evidently removed shortly after this and never replaced. If the previous balcony elements were badly deteriorated, then the removal may have been warranted, but the decking and railing should have been put back in place after treating the termites. The guidelines state that the BCC requires matching the material, dimensions, size, profile, details, and other visual characteristics of the historic component when replacement is necessary. Staff recommends that the proposed retention of the balcony as is be denied and that the balcony be properly repaired. Structural tie plates were noted as being installed on the St. Louis side of the rear building, and a metal channel tie had been installed on the Dauphine elevation of the rear building. A drawing was submitted with the application showing four structural ties going through the width of the building with exterior wall plates on both the St. Louis and Conti sides of the building. The applicant attempted to send additional drawings, but the file quality was too low to be legible. Regarding the retention of four ties through the building, staff finds the retention conceptually approvable, provided that the plates be painted to match the adjacent building surface. Regarding the large metal channel on the Dauphine elevation of the building, staff does not have any drawings related to this work. This tie is much more crude and visually obtrusive compared to the simple plates. It is unclear if the intention of this tie is to hold the masonry wall back or to try and hold the wall together, as the metal appears to span over a large vertical crack. Staff recommends that a structural engineer review the situation, and if a tie at this location is deemed to be necessary, propose something that is less visually intrusive. In summary, staff recommends referral of the application to allow the applicant time to submit a revised proposal to more appropriately address these violations.
Thank you. Could we have your name, address, and relationship to the property, please?
Jerry and Rita Saddlewell, 422 Burgundy, owners of the property.
Thank you so much for being here. Do you have a response to the staff report?
Yes. There were no windows in this building. This building is an outbuilding. It's actually a kitchen, as we see, as historically we can figure out what was going on. And it was storage, and that's what it is now. And to put windows in it is, you know, it just doesn't work. And it would modernize a building that didn't have windows in the first place. And from our standpoint, it would be just throwing money at something. And believe me, right now, I had people look at it. It's the phenomenal cost. And the phenomenal cost is we can't find anybody to even bid on the work anymore. Nobody wants, you know. I found somebody just to bid the back part of it because he's a small guy and very small fabricator and millwork person, but does, you know, he came recommended and he's done BCC type work before. And so we're at a point, we're just happy to find somebody do, you know, the shutter work on the rear wall and the shutter work at ground level in window. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and the door. Yeah, door downstairs, yeah. It's... Yeah, right. What Rita's saying is the downstairs window, which was existing, would be replaced in kind. But the other one, we didn't have any other one. And at this stage, I don't have any problem getting an engineer to take a look at that piece of channel iron. And we can get that resolved very easily now that the wall has been tuck pointed and is in very stable condition. You do have, you did get my drawings.
I got the one with the wall plates.
Yeah.
But there was another set, I think you tried to send me that I couldn't really read.
I had delivered it. I had delivered it here, yeah.
Oh, I know. Was that recent?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't.
I gave them to the girl there, and she says, "Well, he no longer works here." I'm going, "Whoa, wait a minute." And then somebody walked out from the, no, I just saw Nick a minute ago. So I said, "Okay, great." You know, so I thought she got.
I'll look, yeah. I'll
she said she would make a point to get
yeah,
to you.
Yeah.
And that was a good time.
Okay. Yeah.
Could you, well, thank you very much. Let me open it up for comments and questions from the committee.
I'm interested in your comment that this building had no windows. There's no photos in our package that would let us see the jam of those openings. All we can see is the shutters.
Well, that's right. That's the way it was sold to us.
Yeah.
I think it's
But on the inside of those shutters, presumably there might be a jam that would tell us that if there's a window, if there was a window historically. You know, those shutters are mounted to wood jams.
Yeah.
I'm just really surprised to hear that there wouldn't have been windows in that historically in the distant past.
And they're very old, old frames, but they're perfectly smooth. There's no channel, no harbor, nothing.
Okay.
Inside, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
We did something photographic that.
And
I'm sorry.
If we're still on windows, let's.
I was going to ask for those two windows. You said that it's currently storage. Do you ever open those shutters?
No, the shutters were nailed shut.
I was wondering about maybe being a better, you know.
I mean, we do have precedent
fixed
for
layer.
Keeping just fixing.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about.
The window, for buildings that aren't
habited
and haven't. Lot of mercy at buildings.
Sorry, continue.
And the balcony, did you guys indicate that there was no balcony when you bought the building, and is there any evidence that it was a balcony?
There was a balcony. It was falling apart.
Okay.
And, it just got to a point where it was dangerous. Termite damage we have.
And I knew it mentions the removal of because of the termite damage. Do you have an approximate time that happened? I noticed in one of your comments it said something about grandfathered, so I was going to ask about.
This was back in the early 90s.
So that's for them.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's for them.
It wouldn't be grandfathered, it would be grandfathered.
Okay. And I'm sorry. And the grandfathered was about the channel iron. Oh, no, that's about both. Okay. Any further comments?
I tend to agree with the staff that the balcony ought to be put back the way it was. Tend to agree with the staff on that one.
I do, but at the same time, I think that the applicant has also mentioned hardship, which if you did want to make a case for hardship, we're not able to make a determination on that at this level, but the full commission would be able to in terms of, finances or lack of ability to find people to do the work or something like that. But I agree, like getting it back at some point would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think that the hardest thing for us to look at something that's a storage building to be brought back and this, to spend the money for something that would be non-functional, that's pretty hard to take.
Let me ask. I have no public comment card. Is there any public comment? No. our one public member here says no. Do you have any other comments you would like to make at this time?
I do not. I do think that if you were to come back to the committee with some photos of those openings so that we could see that there were no windows there, and it sounds like you're agreeable to repairing the shutters.
Yes.
had the downstairs window and door.
Yeah.
It's just the upstairs that never had windows.
Yeah, I think that's really important, is having a good building envelope. If we can ensure that, then that lets the building die another day.
And you mentioned being open to hiring a structural engineer to inspect and make a report on the elements.
It's not a problem.
Oh, okay, yeah. Thank you. Well, you do have the final word as the applicants, as I'm sure you know by now, seeing as you've watched 15 of these or something.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Do we have a motion?
Yes, in the matter of 422 Burgundy, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant time to consult with the structural engineer and forward a report, and also forward further documentation on the windows and existing millwork conditions.
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thank you for coming in today, and look forward to resolving everything with you.
No, that's right. Do we have any, can we move forward on getting shutters ordered?
Get with Nick about that.
Okay.
Yeah,
the deliveries, you know, it's just insane.
Nick will definitely work with you.
All right, okay.
But thank you so much.
Yeah, one other thing I want to note, I noticed one of the pictures up there was of the completed Tuck 20 work. And you probably didn't realize that, but it was. And the contractor also did another wall on the side. And he looked at it and says, "Can I fix that?" And I said, "Fix it." You know, so we've done more tuck pointing than, you know, with our original permit covered.
There's a big difference between the before and the after. I really appreciate you guys taking good care of this property.
Well, we've got to try. You're right. All right.
Thank you, Astic. Thank you so much.
Want a bourbon? You're here for the last one, right?
Yeah.
So there's no one here for 4-9 bourbon.
We'd like to make a motion regarding 4-9 bourbon, who does not have an applicant present.
Yes, noting that we have no applicant present, I move to defer 4-9 bourbon to allow the applicant to be present.
I will second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Last item on the agenda is 1025 Rural Street, and we have an applicant present. Thanks for your patience.
Yes,
I appreciate you. Are you always last on this agenda? I feel like I'm always thanking you for your patience.
1023, 1025 Rural. This is a green-rated building. There's a proposal to modify the existing wood porch railing, including increasing the railing in height. Prefabrication materials received May 26, 2023. Staff placed a stop work order on this property back on February 21st, 2022, after the installation of crude wood railing extensions on top of the historical railings. The applicant is now proposing to raise the railing height and to remove the temporary extensions. The existing railings are approximately 29 inches tall above the porch decking. As the railings are to be modified, the building department has stated that the railings need to be to at least pass residential code with a 36-inch height and spacing not exceeding 4 inches. The applicant proposes to retain and modify the existing railings in order to meet code. The process of raising the railing would include raising the bottom rail approximately 1 inch, replacing the bottom rail with a true 2-inch tall board, adding 2-inch blocks to the top and bottom of each of the existing wood spindles, modifying and replacing the top rail to increase the height of the top rail from approximately 4.5 inches to 6 inches. All combined, these modifications would increase the overall height of the guardrail by 7 inches to achieve a height 36 inches above the porch floor. The applicant believes that these spindles are currently spaced close enough together to pass the 4-inch steer rule. Staff notes that the vast majority of railing modifications that are reviewed by the BCC involve metal railings, and the committee has approved various different designs to satisfy code, including extending the existing railing, adding secondary railings behind historic railings, and or seeking BBSA exemptions for certain code elements. Staff is concerned that the proposed modifications for this railing are extensive, would drastically and negatively change the appearance of what is a significant element of the circa 1890 structure. Staff recommends that alternatives to the current proposal be explored that would keep the existing railing more or less as is. This could include adding a minimal railing behind and or appealing this requirement to the BBSA. There's also a question of a handrail at the front entrance steps. A crude handrail was installed along the railing extension, but there is no indication in the scope of work as to what is proposed for this location. The improvised handrail is not appropriate for attention. If railing is to be proposed in this location, staff recommends that it be a minimal metal grab bar, similar to others that have been approved at entrance stoops. Staff recommends deferral of the application to allow for alternative strategies to be explored and request commentary from the committee regarding preferred treatment.
Thank you so much.
Did
sorry.
You say your name was Aaron? I'm yeah. sorry. You are. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you short. That's where I remembered you from. I thought it was from a meeting. Could you please state your name and address?
Eric Flowers, 1620 Green Acres.
Thank you. And your relationship to the
contract.
Great. Thank you so much. Do you have a response to the staff report?
Yeah, the railing, the handrail going up, if you see it's not in that picture right now in the present, but if you look at back to the first picture that you have of the house, the original picture, those handrails are on there, and we just want to go back with something exact right there.
Oh, like this, yeah.
Exactly, we want to put those back up there. And as far as those spindles, I want to keep the top cap, the bottom rail, everything the same. The spindles, if you look at it, we just want to take these blocks right here that are rotted out, they're not holding in there. Those spindles, you can pull them right off of there. We want to take the spindles, cut it off, replace it, and just make them 2 inches bigger to raise the handrail. 2 inches on the bottom of it and 2 inches on the top.
Well, that and makes that's a lot more sense. Yeah.
That's what we plan on doing.
It's gonna change the proportion.
Until that clarification, I was thinking that just something simple behind it might be the best option, but would you be interested in seeing a drawing or a mock-up of this item? Because I think it'll change the proportion, but it might still work.
When I'm looking at the old, I wish I could zoom in. Because the ones at the bottom on this look, does these look smaller, or is it just the angle of the?
I'll tell you, the posts are extremely different. Those, you know, I would rather make those posts like that.
The spindle looks totally.
Yeah, they look stubby. Oh, they look stubby. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
oh yeah, you're right. It's not even the same spindle.
It's not even the same at all.
No.
Yeah.
And if I had to change those posts,
it's similar.
It'd be a lot easier to make those posts than the ones that they have.
What was the what kind of started all this work? What's the requirement?
It's falling. It's falling apart. It's falling like this. Just the whole thing is coming apart.
I see.
So I've always wondered, because I live close to here, was it too low and to their worried someone was gonna fall?
I don't know why they put the temporary stuff on top. I wasn't there for that.
Okay.
But I believe, I don't know if the city made them do that.
No.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know why that's up there like that. But
it was because I think it was Coup de Vieux in 2022. They had people coming to stay, so they decided to put the temporary safety because they were going to watch the parade, I guess, from there. And then I put up the stop.
And now this is still there, FYI.
Still
there.
Yeah.
Made it from 2023 Coup de Vieux also.
Yeah. Thank God it's labeled the temporary.
Well, given the conditions, it seems almost like there is a much better solution than having to modify every single one of those spindles in the way that you were planning on doing it.
So that there's a better way?
Well, it seems like we're kind of like looking at what was previously there and then...
I actually did this same exact job with you on Martyr Place, raising the spindles up on that property.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember that. I thought we were talking about maybe this existing spindles not being the
historic.
I mean, it's fine if they're not the historic, but if we felt like there was some reason that they were not appropriate, then the amount of work that goes into modifying them might not have been as worthwhile of an endeavor. But if we would like to see what the modification looks like, I think there's potential for it to be worthwhile.
They do make metal brackets that you can put on a top rail that would hold another wood rail. Mm-hmm. That seems like that would be a lot less work.
But the actual handrail itself, the bottom that's holding the spindles, is rotted.
Yeah.
It needs to be replaced, you know, regardless. And then all the spindles really look like that, so they're going to fall out anyways. So that's, you know, to try to save the spindles and keep it original, just want to cut the rod out, use a dowel screw, screw it back on, repair your spindle. There's 25 per thing, it'll take about 2 weeks worth of work.
And when you raise this rail, you'll have to also raise the newels.
Say it again?
When you raise the rail, you'll also have to raise the newels. Are you planning to do the same thing,
yes,
add a little wood to it?
Correct.
I'm, am I the only one who would rather see the newels go back to the...
No, I like the old way better, but
if,
I'm...
If it's old, I would rather do the old way better. I would rather do
but
that.
But I'm concerned about the old way with the new spindle. Is my... Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I wish I could see them. I'm trying to see them side by side. I guess my question is it comparable or close to comparable the ability to find spindles that are closer to that? Because I think that if we were to look back at this example as a potential one to modify, that could be an option. At the same time, if we're modifying it, do we just make it, you know, something of itself, separate, something of its own, you know?
Comparable as in money-wise or looks-wise?
Money-wise. Like, I mean, like,
it would be a lot more to get new spindles.
You'd have to get all new spindles.
Yeah,
then it would be to modify those. The time element, that would be a lot more. I'd like to note that there is no public to ask if there is a comment for the record. That's why I didn't ask. What do you think, Stephen? You're always good with details like this.
Would you like to see a mock-up?
I do share your concern about the proportions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's going to...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
if the bottom... if every spindle looks like that, that's a...
As far as, not every single bottom looks like this, but most of them are rotted at the bottom.
Yeah.
And they just, what do you mean by the proportion of the length of this?
Yeah, because we're adding 2 inches to the bottom and the top. We're making the whole spindle 4 inches longer.
Correct, instead of a 20-inch or 24-inch spindle.
Yeah. And that could make a difference in the way that it looks.
I mean, I would imagine when they made these, they cut them to fit in there.
I mean, I might be wrong. I don't know. Yeah. It's already going to look different because it's going to be so much taller. So.
It's going to always want to modify it at rod. This is just insane. Give you all.
Get all new spindles.
I mean,
but again,
the proportions are going to be the same.
When is this historic photo from?
It's likely 64.
Oh.
Wow, yeah, so the spindles that are there, not that old.
Well, and look at the bottom rail, it's higher.
It is higher.
Yeah, so like the spindle's actually even shorter than what it is now, likely.
I'm just concerned with, like, what is there now is not historic.
No.
And if we modify it, it'll maybe look even less intentional or more awkward because it's not fitting into the proportions that are there now and it's already not fitting into the right look. And so I was wondering if, I feel like the answer is either...
I think part of...
Add something on top or replace the whole thing.
And part of what kind of works here, why you're not noticing... is likely the color.
That helps.
But you kind of like blended it, right? Like it's kind of...
Historically accurate coloring for the woodwork on this?
Not even gonna...
If we considered a deferral, do you feel like there's a couple of points that are worth discussing as options to look at.
I mean, would you guys want to see a mock-up?
My problem is that it's not historic, and so you're modifying this, like, not historic thing.
You're modifying something that's not historic.
And so it's already kind of looking strange to me, especially with the...
Well, I tell you what looks real strange to me. Yeah,
yeah. I know, it's like...
And I've been looking at this for about 2 years now.
I guess I'm worried that when you add the block, that it's that you're going to have that seam there at the top and the bottom, and...
We're going to bundle the seams. Yeah. I'm not going to leave that like that. No.
Yeah.
There will not be any seams visible.
Yeah. And then I think we also have to think about how this other rail is going to play into this, right? We don't have any drawings on that.
Mm-hmm.
The handrail.
I think that's... I mean, like, again, like, neither of those things are there. I think that if we went back with something appropriate to the building, that would be fine.
If we could look and see other... similar
Rick
railing types.
Rick loves a lamb's tongue. And do a railing.
I
mean,
he wants that everywhere.
would you be open to maybe discussing a couple of different options with the staff? It would give you a chance to talk about it with your client and maybe look at pricing and potential based off of what might be.
So ask them to buy new spindles and rebuild the handrail and new post?
I think there's a couple of questions that are outstanding, such as like the handrail that you're planning on installing, and if it is that exact handrail or if it's one that looks like it. If it looks like it, what does it look like? And I think there's a couple of questions like that, and then there's a couple of questions regarding the way that it will look after you modify the already sort of slightly incongruous guardrail.
Okay, so you would like me to build one of these spindles and then bring it in here, and then also possibly have a spindle picked out from, you know, probably some website, and bring it in here and get it approved, and then basically maybe hit the top rail and the bottom rail.
I was suggesting maybe having a conversation with Nick is your contact. I would suggest maybe having a conversation with Nick really soon after this to maybe discuss missing items such as the answer to, is it that exact same handrail? If it's not, what is, you know, just a picture of the one that you're planning on installing to make sure that that is an appropriate one, and then discuss the feasibility of finding a second option that might be more aesthetically appropriate to the need to raise the handrail versus the modification of that. So I would leave it up to you, and if you want like a drawing or a mock-up of a spindle, I think like a drawing of the front of the building would work just as well. Or I would suggest for a secondary option, a different method of reaching the code requirements that would be not elongating the spindles, but, you know, adding on. But we don't know. What do you think? Think over.
So by the way, this was restored in the 80s, and prior to that, the entire rail was iron or aluminum.
Yeah, between 1960, whatever that was, and 1975, an aluminum or something like that was put up. And then
oh,
it's lovely.
Can you
like
see?
Wood.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, nothing is...
Well, in the 80s, it's close to 50 years now.
But I would say nothing is sacred. Like, at this point, like, we know that that's not...
Yeah, I think
what it was.
What we'd probably like to do is prevent the applicant from having to come back here.
Yeah.
Yes.
If y'all feel comfortable working out the details. I'm not sure how much of what's here is salvageable. Sounds like the center of the these turned rails are posts are salvageable, and we're adding a little bit to the top and bottom. whether you're just repairing like 2 inches on each side and putting a post on top, or
exactly. I'm just going to add some to not all, like, so if this is rotted, I would say that's about 1 inch of rot right there. Mm-hmm. Cut it off, right? So if I have to replace, I would rather take a little bit more and add a, like I said, a valve screw in there.
Yeah.
Just make that a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I don't.
Honestly, it might end up looking better, taller.
What's here is not historic, so I really don't feel that strongly about.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like,
don't feel that strong after saying that other.
Yeah, I'm not as worried. I just want it to look
proportional.
Yeah, just I would like it to look like complementary enough to the building that you don't like zero in on it. And so I think do you feel comfortable doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're good with a couple different options, we can go with one of them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think if you wanted to add on something like very nondescript to make the code happen and just replace this in kind. But I do think that an option that just modifies the entire wood railing in a way that complements the building without being overtly, you know, incongruous seems to also make sense. And then, you know, I think a simple handrail, honestly, especially considering a simple metal handrail doesn't have
on
to
the
even
side,
be,
yeah.
would be appropriate.
I think we're gonna do that stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, does that make sense? Basically, you can work with Nick to find a solution that works for y'all and that works, you know, within the guidelines, and you won't have to come back and see us again.
Absolutely.
If that were to be a motion that were made, and I can't say for sure that it is, so let's have a motion.
Yeah, so. In the matter of 1025 Royal, I move to conceptually approve the proposed porch railing modifications with final details, including top rail dimensions and profile, and I guess dimensions and profile of all components to be replaced to be worked out at the staff level.
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes.
Yeah. Thank you.
You'll find something.
Thank you.
I know it'll look, have a good day.
It'll look good. Thank you so much. Thanks again. Good to see you.
Thank you.
I note that we've reached the end of our agenda.
Wow, you can
I have a motion to adjourn. I move to adjourn.
I'll second that motion.
Just press the button.
All in favor. Aye. Motion passes.